主要2011年10月15日，太平郡马告纪念教会信徒做酒会，讲道者博伟志牧师，专讲的题目犹太人的利未记专讲第二讲。
Good afternoon, everybody.
大家午安。
Was it a good lunch?
啊，午餐好吃吗？
You know, this is always a very dangerous time.
啊，这个时段呢，通常是很危险的。
In my class in Israel,
我在以色列的课程呢。
We teach. It's a full day of class, so we teach in the morning and the afternoon, like we did today.
啊，我们是整天上课，早上跟下午，就像今天一样。
And the afternoon it gets difficult too.
啊，那在下午呢，总是特别困难。
And every once in a while, I see the students.
偶尔呢，我就会看见学生们就点头了。
I had one student once. I saw that she had fallen asleep.
那有一个学生呢，我看见他睡着了。
So I'm teaching away.
那我就在教课。
And all of a sudden she wakes up.
在教的过程里面，他突然间醒过来。
And, she felt so apologetic.
那他醒过来以后，他就觉得很不好意思。
So she said, excuse me, Ariel, what did you say? I was sleeping.
然后他醒过来以后，居然就跟我说 ，Ariel, 对不起，你刚才讲什么？因为我睡着了。
At least she was honest.
至少他很诚实。
So, take comfort and realize that my eyes are pretty bad.
所以呢，各位也可以知道一点哦，我的视力真的是很弱。
And I could just barely see past the first row here.
所以呢，第一排后面的我都看不太清楚啦。
So if you fall asleep, I'll never notice.
所以就算你睡着了，我也不会注意到。
Let's get to work.
好，我们开始吧。
Now we spent the entire morning helping us to understand how to read Leviticus.
今天早上一整个时间我们都在于帮助各位要怎么样来读利未记这卷书。
Please take to heart what we said because that is how we can approach Leviticus.
请对早上的信息呢你真的是要留心，因为呢我们早上所讲的这个就是之前的导论是对于读利未记有很大帮助的。
Now we will embark on a brief survey of its contents.
现在呢，我们就要来很简短的来看看利未记的内容。
The first 7 chapters of Leviticus have to do with offerings.
利未记的前七章跟奉献或者是献祭有关。
And the temptation in these chapters is for us to read into what is written.
To read into.
Yeah, to think that we know what it's talking
about. Okay. 好，那读这七章有一个很大的试探，哦，就是你读的时候，你自以为知道他在讲什么。
Whereas to understand it properly.
但是要正确的、合宜的来了解它。
Just let the book say what it says.
你就是就字面的意涵去读它。
And if we do, we'll get a lot out of it.
We will get
much more out of it.
如果呢，你是抱持着这样的态度，是让你会得到更多的。
So the key to understanding these offerings.
因此，对这些奉献的了解，它最主要的关键
is seeing how Leviticus labels them. What name does Leviticus give them?
就是看看利未记给这些献祭什么样的名称。
In chapter 1 of Leviticus.
在利未记的第一章里
we have the first offering.
我们看到了第一个献祭
The Hebrew calls it Olah.
那在希伯文里面呢这种献祭叫做 Olah.
Some of our translations call it the whole burnt offering.
那有些翻译的版本说是整体的燔祭
That's okay, but really more is communicated by the Hebrew word.
翻成燔祭也可以啦，但是其实希伯来文本身哦，它包含的意义比较大。
The word Olah means to lift up, to rise up.
Olah 这个希伯来文的意思就是兴起或高举。
And it describes exactly what happens to the offering.
那这个字呢，描述了发生在你的这个献祭的祭物上什么样的事情。
The entire offering is offered up to God.
因为你所献的这个祭呢，是整个都献上给神的。
Everything is burnt on the altar of sacrifices.
所以这个献这个祭牲哦，整个都要焚烧在祭坛上。
Everything, nothing is eaten.
所以这个燔祭呢，是整个都烧掉了，所以你没有吃它的任何一部分。
So the whole offering rises up in smoke.To God.
因此这个牲祭本身呢就全部烧掉然后上升到神那里。
But smoke is not the only thing that rises up to God.
但是上升到神那边的不仅是这个烧毁之后的烟。
What happens when you roast meat on an open fire? What happens when you roast an animal on an open fire?
好如果呢你在那个很大的火焰里面你来烧一只动物。会发生什么样的事呢
？It smells wonderful.
啊，其实那个味道是很棒的，很香的。
And so God, the scriptures frequently say that it is a sweet smell unto the Lord.
所以在圣经里面就常常描述说，这在神的鼻中闻起来是香甜的味道。
The script, chapter 1 also says that this offering is to be offered continually before the Lord.
那利未记第一章里面也说要时常要继续的在主面前献上燔祭。
And so because of that, many consider it like your basic sacrifice.
因此呢很多人就认为燔祭就是最基本的献祭。
So all that is offered up to God, it burns continually.
因此呢这牲畜整个的都献给啊、哦、焚烧献给了神而且持续不断的献上这样的祭。
And what does it signify?
这个的意义在哪里呢它的重要性在哪里
Well, several things.
有几点。
The opening verses of chapter 1 say that it signifies atonement.
那在这个第一章里面呢它有告诉我们说它其中一个代表的意涵就是赎罪。
Atonement has, is a word, it's a very extremely difficult word to understand.
赎罪这个字是很难了解的一个字。
Sometimes we associate the word atonement with being justified or with paying for sin.
赎罪呢我们常常跟称义或者是为罪付上代价连在一起。
But really the word has to do with assessing the value of something.
但是这个字呢跟、哦、评估一样东西的价值有关。
It's a statement of something's worth.
所以这个字事实上是在描述一个东西的价值的一个字眼。
And so if we offer the entire animal unto the Lord,
因此如果我们把整只牲畜都献给了神
we could say that it's God is worth it. He is worth our all.
我们可以这样说神他配得我们的一切的。
Therefore, this would also signify total surrender or total dedication to the Lord.
因此这个祭也代表你将自己完全的献给神完全的降服于神。
It is not a sin offering.
这不是一个赎罪的祭。
If somebody wanted to bring this offering to the Lord,
如果有人要把这样的祭献给神
They would do it as an outward demonstration of their total dedication to God.
他们献上这个祭是要表达他们愿意把自己的全人都献给神
Or an outward demonstration of their total surrender to the Lord.
或者是从这个外在的这个举动里面表达他们完全的降服于神
In the days of the temple,
在圣殿的日子里
The temple priest offered an olah sacrifice twice a day.
圣殿的祭司一天要两次献上燔祭。
Once in the morning.
一次在早上。
And once in the very late afternoon.
一次呢在傍晚。
Because the scripture says that this shall be offered before the Lord continually.
因为经文指示这样的祭要不断献上在主前。
So it was offered in the morning and would burn all day.
因此呢早上献上而且整天焚烧
and also late afternoon or early evening and it would burn all night
然后傍晚献上整夜焚烧
in addition to that any individual was permitted to bring their own olah offering
此外，每一个人都容许献上他自己的这个燔祭。
Now, this may come as a shock, but this offering does not picture anything about what Yeshua did.
底下这段话你听起来可能很惊讶啊，但是这一个祭呢，跟耶稣所做的没有关系，他没有描述出耶稣所做的画面。
Because it's not an offering for sin.
因为这个祭不是一个为了罪所献上的祭。
It's just an offering that somebody would bring to express their total dedication and surrender to the Holy One.
人献上这个祭是要表达他们愿意全人献给神，且完全的降服于圣者神。
That's the Ola sacrifice.
那这个就是所谓的 Ola 献祭，这个燔祭。
Now, this next statement, I say for the benefit of those of you who know English.
以下这段话呢，是说给懂英文的人听。
Some of you might know that the Jewish people experienced a horrible time during World War II.
或许你们当中有些人知道，犹太人在二次世界大战的时候受到很大的痛苦。
When in Europe, 6 million Jewish people were slaughtered by the Nazis.
在欧洲有600万的犹太人遭受纳粹党的屠杀。
This black period of our history is called the Holocaust.
那我们历史当中的这段黑暗期就叫做大屠杀时期。
The word Holocaust is derived from this Hebrew word Olah.
那大屠杀这个字，希伯来文的字根就是 Olah 这个字。
It's the idea that.This wasn't just a murder of 6 million people.
它背后的含义就是说，这不光只是对600万人的屠杀。
But their death was sanctified. Their death was a holy time.
他们的死呢，是一个圣化的时期，是一个神圣的时期。
In a sense, they died as martyrs.
也就是说。这死去的600万人是像殉道者一般死亡的。
Offering themselves totally to God just because they were part of His people.
只因为他们是以色列百姓的一份子，现在他们被屠杀了，表明他们将自己全然的献给神了。
So this period of time is called the Holocaust because of that. It's derived from this Hebrew word, Olah.
所以 Holocaust 这个字我们今天翻成大屠杀，但是它的希伯来文字根是源自于 Ola， 就是翻译成燔祭的这个字。
Leviticus chapter 2，
利未记第二章。
There we have the second kind of offering.
在这里我们看到第二类的献祭。
Once again, we can understand the offering if we know the Hebrew word behind it.
如果你知道这种祭背后的这个希伯来文，你对它会有更清楚的了解。
The offering is called a mincha offering.
这个祭呢叫做 mincha 献祭。
Mincha, that's very good.
Mincha.
Mincha is a Hebrew word that means a couple things here.
那 mincha 这个希伯来文呢有几个意思。
A mincha, the word mincha means a tribute or a thanksgiving.
Mincha 就是一种感谢。
The text in Leviticus tells us that this was not a blood sacrifice.
利未记里面也告诉我们，这个不是流血的一种献祭。
It was a food offering.
这是一种食物的献祭。
Of unleavened bread.
是无酵饼的献祭。
A little wine.
还有一点酒。
And I forget what else is in there.
我忘了还有什么。
But it's a food offering unto the Lord.
但是这是献给主的食物的祭。
And it.Based on the name of the offering,
按照这个祭的名字
why would a person bring a mincha offering?
一个人为什么要献上 mincha 这样的祭呢？
Just because he was grateful.
只因为这个人心中充满了感恩。
Just because he was thankful.
因为他心里感谢主。
He would bring this offering unto the Lord.
因此他就要带来这种祭献在主的面前。
Step back for a second, look at the bigger picture.
现在我们往后退一步看一下这个宏观。
The tabernacle or temple was considered God's house.
会幕或圣殿是被认为就是神的家。
It's where God's residence was on planet Earth.
所以神在地上的居所就是在会幕在圣殿里。
In fact, the Hebrew word for temple is Beit HaMikdash, holy house.
事实上希伯来文讲圣殿这个字呢它的意思就是圣洁的房子。
So this was a living quarters, someone's private living quarters.
因此呢，可以把它看为是某人哦私人的这个房屋。
It had the place where people can be greeted at the doorway.
那在门口呢有接待的地方哦，就是跟客人打招呼的地方。
It had a place to wash your hands.
然后还有可以洗手的地方。
It had an inner chamber.
还有一个内室。
It had furniture.
那在里面呢也有家具。
And it had a very inward chamber where it was just for the couple that lived there.
那还有一个最里面的房间呢就是这个主人的这个主卧房。
Who's the couple that lived there?
那住在这个主卧房里面的是谁呢？
The bridegroom is God himself.
新郎就是神自己。
And the bride is Israel.
那新娘就是以色列。
Represented by the high priest.
以高大祭司做代表。
Now, in this kind of a picture,
现在在这样的一个画面里，
outside of the courtyard was where the kitchen was.
在这个院子的外面呢，就是厨房的所在地。
Where we had the altar of burnt sacrifices.
也就是在那边焚烧这些祭牲的地方。
So what do we cook in the kitchen?
因此在厨房里面我们做什么菜呢？
We cook meat.
我们煮肉。
That's where the altar of burnt sacrifices is where the main course was cooked.
所以呢我们的主菜就是在这个祭坛上面焚烧的这些牲祭。
What else do we eat?
那我们还吃什么呢？
Well, we eat in the Middle East, we eat bread.
在中东我们也吃面包。
Maybe if the tabernacle was here in this part of the world, instead of matzah, we would have rice.
那如果当时候的会幕是建造在亚洲，可能不是吃 matzah, 是吃饭，吃米饭。
It's hard to imagine Yeshua being called the rice of life.
但是呢，现在对我来讲很难想象耶稣被称为生命的米。
But we have in the mincha offering the other things that one would normally eat in a meal.
但是在 mincha 这个献祭里面呢，还有一样我们平常也都吃的食物。
And so it was like when you visit somebody's house, it's always polite to bring something.
啊、比方说如果你去别人家做客，那这户人家呢总是会摆上一些表达他们的礼貌的一些食物。
And especially when you're invited to the meal, we're always asked, what can I bring? Salad, wine, whatever.
啊、那如果你受邀去人家家里吃饭呢、啊、也是你都会问他说、啊、那我应该带什么呢？带沙拉啦，带面包啦，还是带酒呢？
In this case, we're visiting God's house.
那在这里我们是要去拜访神的家。
And we're going to have a meal with him. We're invited guests.
而且呢，我们是受邀请的宾客，要跟他一起坐席。
And so sometimes when we go, it's desirable to bring a mincha offering.
因此呢，当我们去的时候，带上 mincha 这样的祭是可羡慕的一件事。
God tells us exactly what to bring.
神在这里呢，很清楚地告诉我们要带什么。
And he tells us the motive behind bringing it.
而且他也告诉我们带这些东西的背后动机是什么。
It says it's because we want to express our tribute and thanksgiving to the Father in heaven.
那是因为我们渴慕向在天上的父表达我们内心的感谢。
Do we have to have a temple to do this?
我们需要有圣殿才能够做这件事吗？
No, you could just simply tell God how grateful you are.
不，你可以单单的跟神说，哦，神啊，我是好感谢哦。
One day, I was walking in Jerusalem.
有一天，我在耶路撒冷走路。
With a friend of mine.
跟我的朋友同行。
And we were going to visit the old city.
那我们要去拜访这个耶路撒冷旧城。
That's where the temple was.
就是以前圣殿的所在地。
On the way there was the post office, the central post office.
在路上呢，我们就经过了这个中央邮局。
And we have a post office box there.
那我们里面有我们的这个信箱。
And so do my friend.
我朋友也有。
So we decided to stop in and check our mail.
因此呢，我们就决定进去看一下我们的信箱。
When we got the letter, when we checked the mail, he received a letter.
当我们去看这个信箱的时候呢，他在信箱里面有一封信。
And it was very good news.
那这个信告诉他一个好消息。
He was so excited and so encouraged.
所以呢，他看了信就很开心，很兴奋。得到很大的鼓励。
And I was too for him.
那我看我朋友这么开心，我也很开心。
And we're both walking down the street after reading that letter.
所以读了那封信之后，我们就继续往前走。
Expressing our gratefulness to the Lord.
那也一方面向神表达我们的谢意。
And almost at the same time, we said to each other.
那几乎同时，我们就对彼此说。
You know, if the temple were standing right now, we would bring a milka offering.
我们两个几乎同时说，如果今天圣殿还在的话，我们一定就会带献给神，就是 milka 这个献祭。
That would make this complete.
那这样呢就可以让这整件事情相当的完全了。
We just wanted to do it.
我们的心中就是可想这样做。
We just wanted to go before the Lord's presence and express our gratefulness in that way.
我们只想到神的面前用这样的方式来向他表示我们心中的谢意。
Well, that's the purpose and motive behind the Mincha offering.
所以这个 Mincha 献祭也就是我们翻成的素祭背后的这个动机就是这个。
One more thing about it.
还有一点。
The text in Leviticus 2 also says that it was a poor person's offering.
那利未记第二章里面呢也有提到这是穷人的献祭。
Not always could people afford to bring animals.
因为不是每一个人都能够负担得起献上这个牲畜的祭。
And so our loving father full of grace and mercy provided that they could bring just merely pieces of bread and some wine.
因此我们这位充满了爱与怜悯与恩典的神他就设下这样的一个规定说你可以只带这个素祭啊面包跟酒来。
Does God say we have to bring an olah offering?
神有没有命令说一定要献上这个燔祭呢
?No.
没有。
We can if we want to.
如果你要的话你可以。
Does God say the more we bring, the moreOfferings we bring like this, the more He's going to give us what we want.
神有没有说，你越多献上这些祭，你就越能够得到你心中所想要的吗
？No, that's how the pagan theology. That's how the pagan worship went.
不，外邦人的这个崇拜是这样的，但是不是在神的崇拜里。
In the idolatrous world, people thought the more I bring to the God.Maybe he'll give me more of what I want.
在偶像崇拜的世界里面，那个观念是，如果我带更多来给我的所拜的这个神祗，或许这个神祗就会给我更多。
That's why it's really dangerous to read in pagan sacrifices into Levitical sacrifices.
这也是为什么，如果你带着这种偶像崇拜、外邦偶像崇拜的观念来读利未记的话，那就很危险了。
This is just a provision for people to outwardly, visibly express thanks to God.
所以这个祭呢，献祭就是让人们能够通过外在的这个行动来表达他们内心的感谢。
Leviticus chapter 3.
利未记第三章。
A third offering.
第三种祭。
Once again, the key to this understanding this is in the Hebrew.
再一次我们要从希伯来原文里面去了解这个祭的关键何在。
The first offering was the olah offering.
第一种祭叫 olah 的祭也就是燔祭。
olah meaning rise up.
olah 的意思呢就是升起。
So we rise up in total dedication to God.
因此我们要把自己完全的献上给神。
mincha means tribute or thanksgiving.
Mincha 的意思就是感谢，是素祭。
So we offer it in thanks to the Lord.
因此我们带着感恩的心来献给神。
The third offering is called in Hebrew, Shlamim offering.
那第三种祭在希伯来文里面叫做 Shlamim 祭。
Perfect. Shlamim. Maybe you hear the familiar Hebrew word Shalom in there.
好，或许从 Shlamim 这个字你听到一个比较熟悉的字眼 Shalom.
If you hear that, then you should, because it's the same word.
那如果你有听到这个 shalom 的音呢？哎，对了，因为这是同一个字。
What does shalom mean?
Shalom 的意思是什么呢
？Shalom means peace.
Shalom 的意思就是平安。
The absence of war.
就是没有战争。
But it means much, much more than that.
但是它的意义更广泛。
It means wholeness.
它也代表就是整全的
completeness
完全的
and so this offering is expressing a beautiful, beautiful truth.
因此呢，这个祭表达了出一个很美的真理。
When somebody brought this offering,
当有人献上这个祭的时候
they were expressing a desire.
他们是通过献祭表达他们内心的一种渴望。
They're first expressing their thankfulness and gratefulness for being at peace with God.
首先，他们表达他们跟神之间有平安的关系。
They're also expressing the reality that in God they are complete and whole.
同时也表达出在神里面他们是完整的，是整全的。
And they are grateful for that.
为此呢，他们心存感恩。
And this offering takes it one step further, however.
但是呢，这个祭还有更深一层的含义。
This offering was also an animal sacrifice.
这个祭也是要宰杀祭牲的。
And when the person brought it,
当这个人带祭物来，
he shared it with the priest and his family who helps them.
他呢，就要跟帮助他的这个祭司以及他们的家庭一起来分享这个祭物。
So that in the end, the two families ate together.
因此献祭结束之后呢，这两家就一起享用。
They have fellowship with each other and with the Lord.
他们呢就彼此的交联谊，然后也跟神有彼此的关系，互动的关系。
Maybe I could express it in this way.
或许可以这样来表达哈。
You have to come with me if you would. Come with me to Israel.
好，现在呢，各位如果愿意的话，请跟我来一趟到以色列去吧。
Come with me to the temple.
然后我们一起上圣殿去。
And there you are. There we are. We're bringing our shlamim offering.
好，现在我们到了圣殿了，我们带来我们的 shlamim 这个祭，也就是平安祭。
We get there, let's say, late in the day.
好，可能是比较下午的时候到吧。
Now, when a person brought an animal offering, it was the person's responsibility to slay it.
当一个人带来这个牲畜的祭的时候呢，他自己有责任要把它宰杀。
If the person couldn't, then the priest was there to assist.
但是如果那个人没有办法的话，那么就有祭司可以帮助他。
But once the person slayed it, the parts were handed over to the priest who took it to the altar of burnt offerings.
但是当这个人把动物杀了之后，他的内脏就由祭司拿到祭坛那边去焚烧。
So there we are, we're bringing our offering.
所以现在我们把我们的献祭带来了。
A priest comes over to us. May I help you?
好，所以祭司过来说，我可以帮忙吗？
Yes, we'd like to offer this as a shlamim offering.
是的，我们愿意把这个献上为平安祭。
Would you help us?
你可以帮助我们吗？
Inside, the priest is saying, "Oh, yummy."
那个祭司的心里就是，好吃的来喽。
Now, remember, you may have heard me say this morning, not always were priests godly people.
记得我们早上说过，不是每一个祭司都很敬虔的。
There are people like me and you. Just because a person was a priest was not a statement about his spirituality.
他们呢就跟你我一样，只因为他是祭司，不代表他很属灵。
But we hope that oftentimes they were believers in the Lord.
当然了，我们也希望说，希望他们大部分都是相信主的人。
On this day, you and I bring our offering.
所以这一天到了，你和我把祭物带来。
And this particular priest happens to be a real brother.
那这位祭司，哇，这真的是族里面真实的弟兄。
And when he says to us, "Yeah, I sure would like to help you."
所以当他回答说，是的，当然我们乐意帮助。
We look at his eyes.
我们就看着他的双眼。
And we could tell he's had a rough day.
可以看出来说，他这一天实在不太好过。
So.We slay the animal, he takes it to the altar, the animal cooks.
所以呢，我们杀了动物之后，他把它带到祭坛上，然后这个祭物也被煮了。
And then we sit down someplace, his family and our family, and we eat this together.
然后他们家跟我们家就找个地方一起坐下来吃。
Then we have, as we're doing it, we are fellowshipping.
当我们这样做的时候呢，也彼此有联谊。
We could say something like this to the priest. We said, "Well, so how was your day?"
我们呢，或许可以跟这个祭司这样说：“哎，那你今天如何啊？过得如何？”
Oh, he says, "Sometimes I wonder why I'm a priest."
他或许会他说：“哎，有时候我在想，我为什么要做祭司呢？”
And we say to him, "We're sorry, you were born into it. You had no choice."
那我们就对他说：“对不起，因为我们生下来就是要做祭司的，没选择了。”
What was so difficult about your day?
那你这一天为什么这么难过啊？
Oh, you should be in my shoes for one day, he says.
你如果站在我的这个位置上面当一天看看。
No, thanks. I don't want to. I don't like blood.
不，不谢了，我不喜欢血。
And after a little joking around, we get down to some serious words.
然后让开玩笑一会儿之后呢，我们就开始很严肃的谈起来了。
He says, I helped 10 people today.
他说，哇，今天我已经帮了十个人了。
They knew how to slay the animal, all right.
是的，他们知道怎么杀那个动物。
But they brought sin offerings.
但是他们带这个罪的，这个赎罪祭来。
And I was standing there ready to help them.
我站在那里预备要 帮助他们。
And I know that they weren't talking to me, they were talking to the Lord.
那我也知道他们当时不是在跟我讲话，是在跟主讲话。
But it's heartbreaking the confessions that I had to overhear.
但是呢，唉，听到他们所讲的这些话，我真的是要有很大的耐心。
Sometimes the sin that the saints get involved with are heartbreaking.
因为有时候圣徒们所犯的这些罪真是叫这些做祭司的 心痛而且心碎啊。
And I had to listen to these.
可是呢我必须要去听人们所献上的这些祭的时候他们所讲的所认的这些罪。
Now mind you, this is not like a Roman Catholic priest.
我要提醒各位当时呢并不像今天天主教的这个神父。
The Levitical priest did set up their confessional.They did not set up a little box to listen to people's sins.
当时候的这个祭司呢，没有像今天这个天主教的神父哦，就是有一个小小柜子，他们在告解的那一个小小小的地方。
That was not their purpose.
这不是他们的目的。
They just happen to be standing close to the person, and they overhear sometimes confessions of sin.
所以呢，他们只是因为靠近这些献祭的人，所以他们可以听见这些献祭的人嘴巴所认的这些罪。
And then he says to us.
然后他就对我们说
，You should have seen this one man.
你应该看看这个人。
It was a very grievous sin that he did.
真的，我为他所犯的罪心中忧伤啊。
But then, as he was slaying his animal.
但是当他在杀他的这个祭物的时候
，this big, big, strong ox of a man，
哇，那个代表这个人的那一头很坚扎实的很强壮的那一头公牛
，started crying like a baby，
开始像小婴孩一样叫了起来，爱哭了起来
，it was a heartbreak，
真的是很叫人心痛的。
Then since I'm standing by, he comes over to me and puts his head on me and starts crying.
The
man. The animal probably too.
然后那个献祭的人呢，就开始呢，就开始跑到我的身边来然后靠着我在那边哭哭啼啼的。
That was the life of a priest.
所以这个光景呢，就是祭司的这个生活的光景。
So how happy he was when we came to him.
因此呢，当我们来找他的时候，他真的是何等开心啊
！With the shlamim offering，
我们带着 shlamim 这个祭，就是平安祭。
No confession of sin。
这时候呢，没有做认罪。
No, the only crying and tears were tears of happiness。
那唯一会流下的眼泪呢，是喜乐、开心的眼泪。
That we could get a chance to minister to this priest who worked so hard。
我们有机会能够来服侍这个很劳苦辛勤的这个辛劳的这个祭司。
And his family could get to know our family and vice versa。And the other way around。
然后他们祭司跟他们的家人也能够来服侍我们。
And so the families eat the shlamim offering together.
因此呢，这两家就一起来享用这个平安祭。
And together they have fellowship with each other and with the Lord.
然后他们彼此联谊，也跟主有所告别。
And let's say it was at the end of the day.
好，我们说这个是一天快要结束了。
They both, all families leave the temple together.
那两家呢都一起离开圣殿。
Feeling so good inside.
里面真的觉得很棒。
They're feeling at peace.
他们内里有平安。
And they're feeling that they have whole and complete fellowship with each other and with the Lord.
他们觉得哇真的是两家的这个联谊啊还有与主的这种告别呢真的是彻底了。
And this is the essence of the Shlamim offering.
所以这个就是平安祭的一个本质。
The whole purpose was so that God's people can express their unity.
这个目的就是让神的百姓能够表达出彼此的合一。
With each other and with God.
彼此之间的合一以及与神之间的合一。
I really don't know if it was always like the picture that I just described.
我不知道是不是这个画面总是像我刚刚所描述的那样。
But I have a feeling that the verbal picture I painted for you was fairly accurate.
但是我相信我刚才口述所描写的这个光景呢，应该是相当正确的。
It's fun sometime to read through Leviticus.
有时候呢，在读利未记。
And instead of saying what's in here for me.
如果你不是带着一种心态说，哎。这一段经文里面，我的部分在哪里呢？
Put ourselves in the shoes of the priests.
你换个角度，你把你自己融入那个其中的角色里面啊，像祭司的角色。
And try to get a sense of what they may have experienced, what their life may have been like every day.
想象一下那个祭司每天的生活啊，他们所要面对的那个是怎么样的一个光景。
So that's the first three chapters of Leviticus and the first three different kinds of offerings.
所以这是利未记前三章以及三种不同的祭。
None of these offerings pictures what Yeshua did for us.
这三种祭都没有描绘出耶稣为我们所做的。
But now we come to chapters 4 and 5 of Leviticus.
但是现在我们要进入到利未记的第四跟第五章。
And we have the two kinds of sin offerings.
在这里有两种这个赎罪的祭。
Once again, the Hebrew word helps us to understand these offerings.
再次从希伯来文里面，我们能够更清楚了解这种祭。
There are several Hebrew words that can be translated sin.
在希伯来文里面要讲罪的有几个字。
These two offerings represent two of these words.
那这两种祭呢，就代表其中的两个表达罪的字。
In chapter 4,
在第四章里
we have the word hatat.
我们有一个字叫 hatat.
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 Hatat emphasizes the idea of purification.
Hatat 强调洁净这个动作。
When a person sin,
当一个人犯罪的时候，
He could bring the hatat offering.
他可以带 hatat 的祭来。
And it would represent the fact that God would purify him from his sin.
那这个代表神能够把他从他的罪洁净出来。
How does the hymn go? Sin has left a guilty stain. It's a stain. It's impure.
好，这个有一首圣诗就是讲说罪。留下了这种罪疚的污点，这是不纯净的。
First John 1:9.
约翰一书一章九节。
If we confess our sins,
我们若认自己的罪。
And the Greek word confession there means if we say the same thing about our sin as God does.
We see.
Say.
Okay. 好，那在希腊文里面呢，这个认罪哦，认这个字呢，它的意义是这样：如果我们对这个罪。我们的说法跟神对这个罪的说法一致。
If we say the same thing about our sin as God does, He will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
如果我们对我们所犯的这个罪的说法跟神对这个罪的说法一致的话，这个就是我们翻成认罪的意涵。那么他就会赦免我们一切的罪，洗去我们一切的不义。
Sometimes when we sin.
有时候我们犯罪
How do we feel?
犯罪之后你会有什么感觉呢
We not only feel guilty,
我们不仅觉得有罪疚感
but this is hard to put into words, but don't we sometimes feel like I'm just not clean?
很难用言语去描述它但是你会不会觉得就是自己觉得自己很肮脏很污秽
You know, when we have to go someplace that we don't like to go to,
有时候我们需要去一些不想去的地方。
We're in a place where there's a lot of stuff that's not good that's going on.
去到一些不好的事物进行的地方。
Sometimes when we leave, we feel like we need a bath.
或者说有不好的东西在的地方，那离开那个地方之后，我们就觉得好像需要洗个澡。
I remember sometimes when we were younger.
我记得还年轻的时候。
We would go on these evangelistic missions.
我们会就是去那个宣教传福音
and sometimes we would go into somebody's room
有时候呢会进到别人的房间里
and the person would be there just you know, doing drugs
那这些人可能是吸毒的人。
And his friends, the guys and the girls would just, they wouldn't even look human. They would just have tattoos everywhere.
然后在房间里面的这些男男女女呢，身上都刺青哦，看起来不像人类。
The smoke and the drugs would be thick in the air.
然后那个房间里面充满了这个些毒品的气味。
And then their stories would come out.
然后他们的生命故事出来了。
And after it's over, we just feel like leaving and going home and taking a shower.
所以在这样的一段时间之后呢，我们只想离开这个房间，然后回去好好的洗个澡。
Not only because our bodies needed it.
不仅因为我们的身体需要。
But because of an inexplicable reality that sin leaves one impure.
但是它也呈现出一个事实，就是罪会使一个人的生命不洁。
And it needs spiritual cleansing.
那这需要属灵的洁净。
And we were in the presence of sin, and we recognized that kind of, we felt the need for spiritual cleansing, even though it was not our sin.
好，那当我们就是在这样的一个罪的里面，罪的面前的时候，虽然这罪不是我们的，但是我们也有感受到内在的那股需要属灵洁净的需要。
So that's Chatat offering, Leviticus chapter 4.
因此在利未记第四章里面的这个就是 Chatat 的祭。
Then in chapter 5,
在中文我们翻成赎罪祭。
There's another sin offering.
然后到了第五章呢，是另外一个关于罪的祭。
It's called by a different name.
但是呢，它用一个不一样的字。
This is called by the Hebrew word Asham.
那希伯来文呢，是用 Asham。
The word asham stresses the idea of paying a debt.
那 asham 的意思呢，就是要还债。
What does sin do?
那这个罪是做了什么呢？
It puts us in debt.
当你犯了某个罪，然后好像欠债了一样。
To whom are we indebted?
那欠谁的债呢？
To God.
欠神的债。
Why are we indebted?
为什么我们欠债？
Because we owe him our life.
因为我们欠神的是我们的生命。
The scripture says the person that sins shall surely die.
因为圣经告诉我们说，犯罪的人终局必定是死。
So when we bring a sham offering,
因此当我们带来 asham 这个罪，这个祭就是赎愆祭。
It's a way of recognizing that this offering should have been me.
好，就是代表说你知道这一个祭物应该是你自己本身。
In Isaiah chapter 53,
在以赛亚书五十三章里
，verse 10,
第十节
，Isaiah chapter 3 all talks about the Messiah.
以赛亚五十三章谈到的是弥赛亚。
And verse 10.
在第十节
it says that Messiah would die as a sham offering.
他说弥赛亚要成为赎愆祭为我们而死。
This sin offering pictures what Yeshua would do for us.
所以呢，这一个赎愆祭就描绘出耶稣要为我们所做的事。
When Yeshua died for our sins,
当耶稣为我们的罪而死，
His blood cleansed us from all unrighteousness.
他的血就洗净了我们里面一切的不义。
Isn't that ironic?
这是不是很反讽啊？
When you get blood on something, what happens?
当你呢，就是有沾到血的时候，会发生什么事呢？
It stains. It's hard to get out.
啊，这个血迹呢，是会留下那个污点，很难除灭的。
And in the biblical text, if somebody touches blood,
在圣经里面，如果有人摸到血。
He's rendered unable for that day to participate in things.
那他那一天就不能够去参与任何的事物了。
So the irony is that we have Messiah's blood.
所以这里面的这个反讽在于此哦。现在我们有弥赛亚的血。
Messiah's blood cleanses us.
可是呢，弥赛亚的血却是要来洁净我们的。
The stain was caused by our sin.
我们的生命中有罪污。
But Messiah's blood cleansed us from that sin.
但是耶稣的血使我们的罪污能够被除掉。
It's an incredible mystery that I don't think any of us will ever fully understand.
这是一个我认为没有任何人能够全然明白的奥秘。
Until we get to be in the Lord's presence.
我想要一直到我们跟主面对面的时候才明白。
But even beyond that,
但即使如此
when Yeshua died on the cross,
当耶稣死在十字架上的时候
one of the final words that he said,
他所说的最后一句话
in John chapter 19,
在约翰福音十九章
he said, it is finished.
他说成了
it is finished.
成了
the Greek word that is used in John,
在约翰福音里面所使用的希腊文
is a Greek word that means debt paid in full.
他的意思就是债务完全的还清了。
Yeshua was dying as an asham offering.
所以耶稣是以赎罪祭的身份献上的。
His death on our behalf paid our debt in full.
他为我们死，好来还清我们一切的罪债。
The knowledge of the asham offering will help us to remember this.
所以对于这个赎愆祭的知识可以帮助我们记得这点
to help us to remember that our debt is paid in full
帮助我们能够记得我们的罪债都被还清了
do we really believe that?
但我们真的相信吗
how many believers out there do things and work and work and work for the Lord thinking that it can make up for their sin?
有多少信徒他们是不断的借着好像、哦、工作工作工作或做一些服事要来赎自己的罪
Or even worse,
或者更糟糕的是
how many believers when we sin in our flesh,
有多少信徒当在肉体上犯罪
Do we think that we're going to have to answer for this when we get to heaven?
认为说我们到天上的时候还要跟神、就是报告然后为这个罪负责任。
Yeshua died one time for all sin of all time.
耶稣是、为人类的罪一次献上自己他就永远成为这个赎罪祭了。
He paid my debt and he paid your debt.
他还清了我的罪债也还清了你们的罪债。
And when he died for us, we were still in the future.
当他为我们死的时候呢那时候我们都还没出生呢我们都是在未来里
He paid for all of our sin past, present and the things we'll do tomorrow and the next day
可是呢他就已经为我们过去现在将来明天未来的罪还清了罪债
How do we know this?
我们怎么知道的呢
Because the Bible says he died as an asham offering
因为圣经告诉我说他死是把自己当这个赎愆祭献上
His death didn't just make our salvation possible
他的死不仅是使我们可以得着救恩
He actually accomplished our salvation for us
他甚至为我们成全了这个救恩了
He paid our debt in full
他完全的偿还了我们的罪债
Now, in Leviticus, we aregranted a little picture of something.
好在利未记里面呢我们可以看见一些画面。
We could probably use any passage for this, but I'd like to use chapter 4 as an illustration.
那或许我们可以用任何一章节啊来做说明但是我喜欢用利未记第四章。
In chapter 4 of Leviticus,
在利未记第四章里
if we follow the text,
如果你随着这个经文
We are given a sequence of events.
在这里我们会看见就是一系列的这个动作跟事件
What was it like when somebody brought a sin offering?
当有人带这个赎罪祭或赎愆祭来的时候会怎么样呢
In chapter 4 verse 3
在第四章第三节里
God says he gives us permission to bring a sin offering.
神告诉我们说他容许我们带赎罪祭来
That speaks volumes about the grace of God
这个呢就大大的告诉我们神有何等的恩惠
God told us that if we sin we die
因为神之前告诉我们如果犯罪的人就必须要致死
but right from the very very beginning of things God is making it clear that he's a God of grace
但是从 最先开始，神就声明了他是一位蛮有恩惠的神。
And so he's teaching us about the concept of substitute.
因此在这里他就教导我们这个取代的观念。
He's saying you could bring someone or something to die in your place.
他说你可以带来一些一个人或 一些东西为你啊而死，替你而死。
And the person who had eyes to see and ears to hear,
凡有眼可见，有耳可听的，
would have been prepared for the coming of Messiah by even just this.
那单单通过这个，你也就会被预备要来面对弥赛亚了。
They would have understood that Yeshua came to die in our place.
他们也会明白有一天弥赛亚来是要为我们的替我们死的，就是在我们的位置上替我们死的。
In verse 4,
在第四节里
it says that when you bring the offering,
他说当你把这一个祭带来
you put your hands on it,
要把手按在这个牛的头上。
There's at least two things that signified.
那这个动作呢有两个重要意义。
Now, Leviticus doesn't tell us this.
利未记里面没有告诉我们。
We learn this next fact from reading Jewish writings that took place during the times of the temple.
好，那我们是借着在圣殿期的一些著作明白这个意涵的。
We happen to have a record in Jewish writings of what took place in the second temple.
那在这个第二圣殿里面呢，有一些这个犹太的著作有写这些事。
And it says that when somebody brought an offering,
他这里就记载说，当有人把祭物带来
，and they put their hands on it,
并且按手在那祭物身上
，it was there was a confession of sin right there.
这个动作本身呢，就是一个认罪的动作。
A confession of sin, something verbally said by the offerer to the Lord.
献祭的人呢，要用他的嘴巴哦，对着主来承认他的罪。
So when you're bringing, when they were bringing sin offerings,
因此当他们带赎罪祭来的时候
they understood that there is that God is going to provide a substitute for them.
他们也明白神会为他们预备一个取代的物品。
And they understood that in slaying that offering, there was a confession of sin.
那他们也明白这个替代他们的这个生祭呢带来之后呢会被宰杀。
The second thing that putting the hands on the offering served as,
那他们按手在这个生祭头上呢的第二层意义。
It was a point of identification.
就是认同的意思。
This is my sin.
就是这是我的罪。
And symbolically it's being passed to the animal.
现在呢象征性的这个罪从我身上传到了这个生祭的身上。
Now the animal can never take that sin away. This is just a picture that he's acting out.
这个动物呢，它没有办法实际把这个罪带走的。但是呢，通过这个外在的行动，这个把它给表达出来了。
It pictures the reality that the sinner's substitute would become his substitute.
这个呢，也让我们里面有一个画面，知道说替代罪人的这样东西就是最后成为罪的这个取代的取代罪的这样这个东西。
If I could explain it this way,
如果我可以这样来解释
and this is one of the greatest mysteries of the scriptures,
那这也是圣经里面最伟大的奥秘之一。
2000 years ago,
2000年前
in a land called Israel,
在一个叫做以色列的土地上
the Messiah came and died.
弥赛亚来了且死了。
And the scripture says that when he died as a substitute for our sin.
那圣经记载说，当他死的时候，他是成为我们的罪的取代物。
But according to Leviticus, when we offer a substitute for sin, we have to put our hands on it, and confess, and identify with it.
但是按照利未记的记载，当我们献上这个取代我们罪的生祭的时候，我们必须要按手在这个生祭的头上，并且口里承认我们的罪。
Only the people standing right there in front of the cross could do that. Only the people standing right in front of Yeshua on the cross could put their hands on him.
那么只有站在耶稣第十字架前面的那些人才可以把手按在这个耶稣的身上啊。
Now, I have a very vivid imagination.
告诉各位，我的想象力非常的丰富。
Don't get me started. You just can't believe some things that my mind creates.
不要激动我了，好的，不然我脑海里面会有很多很多的想象出来。
Now I'm going to share with you one of those.
现在我要把我里面的想象的跟你们分享其中一之一。
So here's the cross with Yeshua on it.
好，现在这是钉耶稣的十字架。
What does my mind see?
那在我脑海里面我看见什么呢
?I see the arms of the saints of old reaching across through the centuries. Watching him.
我可以看见历世历代以来这些圣徒的手呢都在摸着耶稣。
And I see our arms reaching across backwards through the centuries.
那我也看见我们的手呢是好像回到过去一样然后来摸着耶稣。
The saints in the past,And us and other saints of the future, all the arms and hands touching him on the cross.
过去的圣徒，现在的圣徒，将来的圣徒，都伸手来摸这个十字架。
That's how my mind sees it.
所以呢，我的脑海里面就会出现这样的画面。
The scripture says,
经文告诉我们
in Romans chapter 6,
在罗马书六章
that we were baptized unto the death of Yeshua.
我们受浸是进入耶稣的死。
The word baptism there means identification.
那个地方所用的这个受浸它的意思就是认同。
In other words, when Yeshua died, we died.
换句话说，当耶稣死的时候，我们就死了。
When Yeshua was buried, we were buried.
当耶稣被埋葬的时候，我们就被埋了。
And when Yeshua rose from the dead, we also rose from the dead.
当耶稣从死里复活的时候，我们也从死里复活了。
And so by means of the Spirit of God,
因此借着神的灵的运行
God in His spiritual world causes our arms to stretch out and touch the cross.
神在他的这个灵的世界里面呢让我们能够伸手来摸这个十字架
and identify with that substitute for us.
并且呢与这个取代我们罪的这个耶稣他的十字架来做认同
I don't know if that's a crazy picture or not but that's how I see it.
我不知道这个画面对各位来讲是不是很疯狂 但是这就是我脑海里面所看见的画面
It's a mystery.
这是一个奥秘
Okay, back to Leviticus 4.
好，回到利未记第四章。
First, we have the idea of a substitute.
现在我们有一个取代的观念。
Then there's the idea of confession.
然后我们也知道要认罪。
Remember, they're not confessing to the priest, they're confessing to God.
记得哦，这个认罪不是对祭司认罪，是对神认罪。
Then there's the idea of identification.
然后我们也知道要做认同。
Number four.
第四。
There's the shedding of blood.
就是流血。
A sacrifice for sin had to die shedding blood.
那这个被献上的祭牲呢一定是要流血的。
His bones were not allowed to be broken.
他的骨头不能打断。
It was not allowed to be strangled to death.
也不能够被掐死。
He had to bleed in his death.
所以这个献祭呢这个祭牲是需要流血致死的。
It was not the priest who was responsible for taking his life.
取这个生祭生命的这件事呢，祭司不是祭司的，不是祭司要负责任的。
The person who brought the animal was responsible to take his life.
好，那个带生祭来的这个人要负责就是取这个生祭的生命，就是杀了他了。
So apply this to Yeshua.
因此再把这个运用在耶稣身上
Why was Yeshua on the cross?
为什么耶稣要挂在十字架上呢
Was it because of the Jews?
是因为犹太人的缘故吗
That's what we've been accused of in Europe for the past 1800 years
在欧洲过去1800年来我们就是被这样指控的
The European church called us the Christ killers and they murdered us because of it
欧洲的教会呢称我们犹太人为谋杀基督的人那也因为这样他们迫害犹太人
They would say to us, you killed our Jesus, we're going to crucify you, and they did.
他们说你们杀了我们的耶稣现在我们要将你们钉十字架而他们也真的这样做了
I often wonder why didn't the Italians get blamed for the death of Yeshua? They're the ones that put him on the cross.
我常常在想，这个把耶稣挂上十字架的这些意大利人，为什么没有 没有被逼迫呢？
But you know, it doesn't matter.
但是其实 这一点都没有关系的。
It makes no difference whatsoever.
因为不管怎么说，他都没有造成对事实的任何差别。
It was God who put him on the cross.
因为把耶稣钉在十字架上的是神。
God sent his son for the purpose of dying for us.
因为神差遣他的儿子来，他的目的就是要为我们死。
He came specifically to die.
他来就是要来为我们死的。
We all put him on the cross.
是我们所有的人把他钉在十字架上的。
He died in our place.
他是替我们死的。
He did not die for his own sin, he died as our substitute.
他不是替他自己的罪死的。他乃是成为一个替代品，为我们的罪而死的。
And finally, in Leviticus 4,
最后在利未记第四章里，
oh, around verse 20,
大概二十节的地方，
we find that the animal in fact died.
我们发现那个牲畜就死了。
You didn't just wound him, he had to die.
不仅只是受伤而已，他必须要死的。
He didn't pass out, he died.
他也不是昏倒了而已，是死了。
And the one who brought it lived.
那带来这个生计的那一位就活下去了。
Do you see how this perfectly pictures what happened with Yeshua and us?
所以现在这个整个献祭的画面很清楚的完全的描绘了耶稣跟我们之间的关系。
I don't know if people still say this.
我不知道今日人们是否还这样说。
But for many years, it was the argument by liberal thinkers.
但是多年来在这个自由神学派里面有这样的争论。
But Yeshua just fainted on the cross.
说耶稣在十字架上只是昏倒了。
He got into the cold grave and he was revived.
然后被抬到那个阴冷的坟墓里头以后就又苏醒过来了。
Anybody who understands crucifixion would never ever ever say that. It was impossible.
但是任何对十字架这个死刑有所认知的人绝对不会说这样的话，因为是不可能的。
When a victim was crucified,
当一个这个罪犯被钉在十字架上的时候，
most of the time he bled to death.
大部分这些人都是流血致死的。
He was always fighting to get air into his lungs.
那挂在十字架的人呢，要挣扎着呼吸。
So he would actually try to push himself up to try to get air into his lungs.
所以呢，他会把身体举起来。想要让空气能够进到他的肺部里面。
And because of blood loss, if he couldn't, he slipped down and then he died.
那因为这个流血的缘故呢，他没有办法挺过来，他就这样瘫下来就死了。
Nobody could ever survive a crucifixion.
所以没有人能够从十字架死刑上面存活下来的。
It was totally impossible.
完全不可能的。
People who suggest that Yeshua merely fainted are totally out of reality.
那些说耶稣只是昏过去的人，真的不知道自己在说什么。
He died.
因为他真的死了。
He became sin for us.
因为他为我们成为了罪。
He took upon himself our sin.
他把我们的罪带到他自己的身上了。
And miraculously, there was an exchange of life.
但是也因此有一个神迹式的生命的交换。
By union with him, we became alive for the very first time.
借着与他联合，我们才第一次真正的活。
Our old man did not survive the crucifixion, he died with Yeshua.
因为我们的老我没有办法从十字架上存活下来，他与耶稣基督同死了。
Romans 6.
罗马书六章。
Our old man died with him.
我们的老我与他同死了。
Our old man was buried with him.
我们的老我与他同埋葬了。
But also by union with Yeshua,
但同时也通过与耶稣联合，
we became alive for the very first time in our life.
我们这一生中第一次能够真正的活，
never ever ever to die again.
而且也永远不会再死。
There was an exchange of life.
因此在这里有生命的交换。
This is what is taught in Leviticus chapter 4 about the bringing an offering.
所以这个就是在利未记第四章里面所教导的这一个献祭。
People with eyes to see and ears to hear would have understood this.
有眼可看，有耳可听的都应当能够明白。
Remember that never did once did any of the offerings take away sin.
Yeah.
Never at all times did any of the offerings take away sin.
好，要记得啊，任何时候这些祭都不是说把你的罪带走的，就是说这里所描述的这些祭不是带走你的罪的。
Hebrews 10:4.
希伯来书十章四节。
It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin.
很清楚地告诉我们，公牛跟公羊的血没有办法除去我们的罪。
And then finally, here's that passage in Isaiah 53:10.
然后以赛亚书53章十节。
Can you read it?
好。
Isaiah 53:10.
我们一起来读以赛亚书53章十节的经文。
For the sake of recording, I'll read the English first.
好，那我先用英文读一次。
But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a asham offering, a guilt offering, 53:10.
好，以赛亚书53章十节，请我们一起来读，请。耶和华却定义将他压伤，使他受痛苦。耶和华以他为赎罪祭，后裔，并且延长年日。耶和华所喜悦的事，必在他手中亨通。Amen. 这里的赎罪祭就是这个 asham 的祭。
Should we be happy or sad?
所以应该是开心呢，还是难过呢？
When I think of the history of Jewish people in Europe the past 1800 years,
当我回顾过去1800年来犹太人在欧洲的历史，
where uncontrollable mobs would kill thousands of Jews in the name of Jesus,
我们数以千计的犹太人在别人奉耶稣的名下被谋杀了，
shouting Christ killer, Christ killer,
而且不断地被讽刺称我们为杀害基督的人。
My whole inside wants to weep.
我的内里很想痛哭。
But when I read this verse,
但是当我读到这个经节的时候，
I just want to dance.
我却想要跳舞。
Because it says it was the Lord's pleasure to put him to death.
因为这里啊，英文有说这个我们中文翻作耶和华却定义啊，另外有小字说喜悦，就是定使耶稣却让神得以喜悦。
It pleased God that His Son died for our sin.
神的儿子为我们的罪而死，这件事使神的心喜悦。
Isn't that awesome?
这是不是很奇妙可畏呢？
Well, those are just some of the things we can learn by studying the offerings in chapters 1 to 7.
这个只是我们研读利未记一到七章的时候可学到的一点功课，一点真理。
Yeah. Let's move on.
好，我们继续。安静一下，我心里面就是很感动，我们要感谢我们的父。好，我们继续。
Leviticus chapters 8 to 10.
现在我们要看利未记第八章到第十章。
Describe the ordination or consecration of the priests.
这里是关乎祭司的安例跟圣化。
Now, let me put this in a historical context.
现在我先给各位讲解一下历史的背景。
The book of Exodus described for us the construction of the tabernacle.
在出埃及记里面呢，记载了怎么样建造这个会幕。
Remember, Leviticus picks up where Exodus leaves off.
那要记得，这个利未记是紧接着出埃及记的。
So we have the tabernacle finished.
所以现在我们已经有一个完整的会幕了。
And everything's all set to go.
那一切都预备好，可以运作了。
But the priests.
但是祭司们。
They need to be trained and instructed.
需要被训练，需要被教导。
Before they could start their work.
他们才能够开始供职。
And so,
所以
we have the priests being trained and consecrated.
我们在这里就看到这些立位这些祭司呢接受训练，而且被圣化。
The tabernacle was an object.
会幕只是一个物品物件。
The priests were people.
但是祭司们是人。
But in some mysterious way, they were one with each other.
但是很奇妙的就是在某一个奥秘的层次呢祭司跟会幕是一体的。
The priest and the tabernacle were one with each other.
祭司跟会幕是一体的。
The tabernacle is where the priest functioned.
会幕是祭司运作的地方。
And even the clothes that the priest wore.
甚至祭司所穿的衣服。
Especially the high priest.
特别是大祭司。
The clothes, the material, and the colors,were all the same ones that the tabernacle was made out of.
他们所穿的祭司袍它的材质它的这个颜色也都跟会幕、建造会幕所使用的材质跟颜色一致。
And so chapter 8 describes for us what happened when the priests were ready to go.
好所以第八章就描述了当祭司预备好的时候接下来会发生的事。
It describes in many details, I won't go through all of them.
这里呢有很多细节的描述我们不会一一来看。
But there's some details that are important for us to know.
但是呢有些细节哦就是蛮重要的我们需要知道。
Before the priests could function as priests,
在祭司能够正式供职之前
they were to sit at the tent of meeting.
他们必须要先坐在这一个香会面的地方。
Chapter 8 verse 35 tells us this.
第八章的三十五节。
But before they did that,
就是在会幕的门口。
They were dressed in their official clothing.
那这时候呢，他们是穿上正式的祭司袍。
And they were anointed with oil.
而且被油来膏抹了。
What does it mean to be anointed with oil?
被油膏抹是什么意思呢？
This is oil.
好，假设我手中这个是油。
It's always olive oil.
一直一定是用这个橄榄油。
And the oil was sometimes simply poured entirely over the person.
那有时候呢，这个油就全部倒在一个人的身上。
In this case, Moses took some of the oil, put it on his ears and his fingers and so forth.
好，在这里呢，这个摩西呢就把这个油呢抹在耳朵上，抹在手指头上。
There wasn't anything magical about the oil.
那不是说这个油具备有什么样的法力。
In Hebrew, the act of pouring oil on somebody for a special purpose.
在希伯来的文化里面呢，把油倒为了某种特定的目的倒在一个人身上呢，它的意思是。
Is the same word for which we get the word Messiah, Mashiach.
哦。他所使用的这个字眼呢跟这个米赛亚的字眼是一样的字眼。
Even objects were anointed.
我们甚至会用油去膏抹物件。
Kings were anointed.
王也会受油的膏抹。
Prophets sometimes were anointed.
先知们有时候也会被油来膏抹。
And here we are, the priests are anointed.
所以在这里我们也看到祭司也要用油来膏抹。
And so they were like,They were picturing what it was like for the anointed one, the real Messiah, to come.
所以呢，这里也是一个预表真正的受油膏的这位米赛亚将来的光景。
He is God's anointed one set aside for a specific purpose.
他是神用油所膏抹的这一位，而且被分别出来要成就特定的目的。
Then in verse 33,
然后第三十三节
As part of their ordination process,
这是他们案例的一个过程
It says that Moses ordained them for the work.
这里有提到摩西呢就案例他们来承接圣职
The Hebrew is very picturesque.
在这里所使用的希伯来文是很具有这个图像性的
The Hebrew group of words that we translate ordain,
我们现在把它翻成案例的这一群希伯来字眼呢
Literally means to fill up your hands.
它的实际的意涵就是把你的手充满你的手。
Which means that you are now equipped and strengthened for work.
那个意思也就是说现在你已经被装备而且有力量能够来工作了。
They were set aside by God.
他们是被神分别出来的
signified by the anointing
那借着用油来膏抹来表达它的重要性
they were trained by Moses
他们是摩西亲自训练的。
So their hands were filled up, ready for action.
因此他们现在的手是满了能力，可以行动了。
So with their official clothes on,
因此现在他们穿上正式的衣袍。
With the anointing oil still dripping from them,
膏抹的油依然在他们的身上滴。
With the knowledge that their hands are full, ready for action.
而且他们现在知道手中有力量，准备行动了。
Verse 35 says they were to sit at the door of the tent of meeting for 7 days.
那35节告诉我们说，他们却要住在会幕的门口7天的时间。
Stop there.
好，在这里停一下。
They were not to do a thing.
在这里呢，他们不准做任何一件事。
All would come to a stop.
所有一切都要停下来。
They were trained by Moses.
这时候他们是已经被摩西训练过的。
They were fully equipped for their job.
对于他们的工作，他们是接受完全的装备的。
One more thing was necessary.
但是还有一件事是相当必要的。
What was in that tent?
在那个会幕啊的门口有什么呢？
Or I should say, who was in that tent?
或者我们说在会幕里的是谁呢？
Who was there?
谁在那里呢？ God.
Exactly. God's presence was in there.
神的同在在那里，在会幕里。
What would they do sitting at the tent of meeting for 7 days?
那他们坐在会幕门口7天是要干嘛呢？
Yeah, we have to put the facts together and then use our imagination just a wee bit.
好，所以我们现在把这些事实拼凑起来，然后稍微运用一下你的想象力。
Fact, they were equipped, they were ready.
好，什么事实呢？就是说他们已经受装备，预备好了。
Fact, they were with each other.
事实是他们彼此同在。
Fact, they were allowed to talk to each other.
They are not.
They were allowed.
They were allowed.
Yes.
好，事实是他们可以彼此交谈。
Fact, all their needs were taken care of.
事实是他们所需用的一切都有供应。
Fact, they were about as close to the Lord's presence as one could get.
事实是他们现在非常接近神的同在。
Before these servants of the Lord were allowed to do their task.
在这些神的仆人能够啊来执行他们的工作之前，
they had to take time.
他们必须要花时间
precious time,
宝贵的时间
to go over the things that they were taught,
就是来复习他们所学习到的这些功课
talk about it with each other,
然后彼此谈论
to pray about those to whom they will minister,
然后为那些他们即将要服侍的人祷告
and to just sit in the Lord's presence, listening to Him and enjoying His presence.
然后单单坐在主的脚前，聆听主的话语，享受主的同在。
Then and only then were they allowed to begin their work.
只有那个时候，接下来他们才可以开始他们的供职。
That's the ordination process.
所以这个就是按例的过程。
I won't make any applications, but I think some things are pretty obvious.
好，在这里呢，这些有些事情是相当啊明显的啊，我就不用多去做运用的描述。
Perhaps all God's servants should go through a similar process.
或许所有服侍神的仆人都应该经过类似的过程吧。
So that's the preparation for the priests.
这是祭司预备的过程。
After 7 days, they rejoined society and began their work.
7天之后呢，他们就回到人群当中，开始他们的工作。
7 days, by the way, is a very symbolic number.
7天，七这个数字呢，是很有象征意义的。
It's the number that means completion or perfection.
七代表完全或完美。
They were given enough time to be to completely immerse themselves in God's presence.
所以他们有足够的时间，让自己与全然的浸透在主的同在里。
Now there's one more thing that was necessary for the whole tabernacle to start functioning.
好，让会幕的这个功能能够完全运作起来，还有一个必要的元素。
Last night,
昨天晚上
was it last night? I can't remember. One time we were at somebody's house.
有一次呢，我们不知道是不是昨天晚上了，但是有一次我们在一个人的家。
And we were it was Friday night. And we were welcoming Shabbat into our home.
也是礼拜五晚上，所以呢，我们就是欢迎安息日的来到。
And Jewish people do that traditionally. One of the things we do is light two candles.
那犹太传统呢是会点两根蜡烛。
Let me say a few blessings and prayers.
然后说一些祝福的祷告。
And we eat a wonderful meal.
然后好好的吃一餐。
It's a beautiful evening.
所以是一个很美的夜晚。
So we're at our host's home.
那当时我们去到这一家家人。
The house looked immaculate. It was beautifully clean.
那一个家看起来真的是好干净啊。
Everybody was dressed beautifully.
然后每一个人都穿上最好的衣服。
The smell of perfume and aftershave was in the air.
还有那个香水的气味啦，古龙水的味道啦。
And you can smell the luscious dinner being cooked.
还可以闻到那个美味的食物。
And it came time for someone to light the candles.
现在呢是点蜡烛的时候了。
Everything was perfect. It was all beautiful.
一切都很完美。
And here were the candles.
好，蜡烛来了。
Looked around.
四处看一看。
We're missing something.
我们少了一点东西耶。
Where's the matches?
火柴在哪里啊？还是打火机在哪儿啊？
That's all that was necessary.
因为这个东西是必要的。
So here's the tabernacle, God's house.
因此，会幕，神的家。
The building's ready.
外面的这个建筑已经都预备好了。
The servants are ready.
里面供职的仆人也预备好了。
The crowd is there.
群众也在那里。
Everything's ready to start functioning.
所以一切都具备，可以开始运作了。
This is one thing, one little problem.
但是还有一个小小的问题。
Who has the matches?
火柴在谁那里啊？
How are we going to start this fire on the burnt altar for the burnt sacrifices?
那我们要怎么去点燃放在祭坛上的这些牲祭啊？
Who's going to light that fire?
谁要点火啊？
Chapter 9, verse 24.
第九章二十四节。
I'll read it in English first, then you can do the Chinese.
好，我先读英文的，我们再看中文的。
Then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering.
有火从耶和华面前出来，在坛上烧尽燔祭和脂油。
The first olah offering was offered.
所以有了第一个 olah， 就是燔祭的献祭。
It was carefully placed upon the brand new altar.
很小心的把它放在刚盖好的这个祭坛上。
And everybody's waiting for something to happen.
所以每一个人都在期待奇妙的事情要发生。
I can see people starting to get a little nervous.
我可以看见群众开始有点紧张。
There's the offering up there. I don't see anybody with a torch.
这个祭物都摆上了，可是没看见有人拿火把来啊。
You hear this murmur in the crowd.
所以你可以听见群众们在窃窃私语。
And all of a sudden,
突然间
whack, God breaks through.
Whack!
A fire starts on the altar.
神的火下来了，击中了祭坛。
God himself lights the fire.
所以是神自己点燃了祭坛上的火。
That's how things got started.
所以这一切就这么开始了。
That's how the house of the Lord started functioning.
所以神的家就开始这样运作了起来。
I'd like to try to draw a little parallel for us.
我想要就是在这里有一个并行的一个画面。
We are talking in Leviticus about the tabernacle of the Lord.
在利未记里面呢，我们提到的是主的会幕。
And the beginning of service and offering being done for him.
以及为他所做的这一切的这个祭司献祭的制度。
It's God who lights the fire.
是神自己要来点火。
And begins everything.
然后开始这一切。
Now, if you would turn over to Acts chapter 2.
好，现在请大家翻开《使徒行传》第二章。
Acts chapter 2, please read verses 1 to 3.
使徒行传第二章一到三节，翻到请我们同声开口来读《使徒行传》二章一到三节，请。五旬节到了，门徒都聚集在一处，忽然有天上有响声下来，好像一阵大风吹过。吹满了他们所坐的屋子，又有舌头如火焰显现出来，分开落在他们个人头上。
Verse 1 says,
第一节说
that they were all together,
门徒都聚集在一处。
This is a story about the apostles after Yeshua went back to heaven.
这是在耶稣升天以后门徒们之间的故事。
And they got together on a certain day.
他们呢在某一个特定的日子聚集在一起。
In Greek, in our versions of the Bible, it says Pentecost.
在希腊文里面啊，跟我们圣经的版本说是五旬节。
That's a Greek way of saying the Hebrew Shavuot.
那这个五旬节是希腊文的表达，就是要讲这个希伯来文的 Sukkot。
No, Shavuot.
哦，对不起，是 Shavuot. Good, you caught me. 啊，是这个希伯来文叫 Shavuot.
Your Chinese is very good, by the way.
Thank you.
According to the Torah,
按照妥拉,
there were three special times when the people of Israel were to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem.
以色列人呢要到耶路撒冷朝圣哦，一年有三次。
Pesach,
就是在 Pesach 逾越节。
Shavuot,
五旬节。
And Sukkot,
跟 Sukkot 就是住棚节。
And so this, in Acts chapter 2 now, we are at the holiday of Shavuot.
那第二章里面的这个呢就是五旬节的节期。
The specialness of this day lies in the fact that it was a first fruits offering day. They offered the first fruits.
好，那五旬节的一个特色呢就是献上初熟的果子。
So it was Shavuot.
这是五旬节 Shavuot.
And it says they were all together in one place.
这里描述门徒都聚集在一起。
Anybody who knows anything about Second Temple period Jerusalem,
如果各位对这个第二圣殿的时期有所认识的
will tell you that for the amount of people involved here,
就会告诉你说在这里呢参与的这个人数里面
it was impossible for them to be in somebody's upper room.
如果说这么一大票的人要挤在某人的这个楼上哈，这是不可能的。
Moreover,
此外
all the believers here were Jews.
这里的这些信徒都是犹太人。
Jews who faithfully followed the Torah.
也就是忠心执守妥拉的人。
On Shavuot in the morning.
所以在五旬节的清晨
You're not staying home.
你是不会待在家里的。
You are in the temple.
你会去哪里呢？去圣殿。
And so the text continues to say,
因此经文继续告诉我们,
they were together in one place,
他们都聚集在一处,
and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting.
忽然从天上有响声下来，好像一阵大风吹过，充满了他们所坐的屋子。
Even though this is written in Greek,
虽然这个原文是希腊文写的,
this passage is full of Hebraisms.
但是呢，在这段经文里面充满了这个希伯来的这个情境。
When it says house,
当他讲屋子的时候,
given the amount of people,
我们现在考虑当时候的这一群人的数目,
and given the holy day that it was,
以及他们刚好是在五旬节的节期上。
The house in question would have been God's house, the temple.
这里所谓的他们所做的屋子，谁的屋子？神的屋子，也就是圣殿。
Many times in the Hebrew scriptures, the temple is simply referred to as Habayit, the house.
那很多时候在希伯来经文里面啊，圣殿呢就是会变会说成 Habayit.
Habayit.
Habayit 意思就是屋子，房子。
To this day.
直到今天
When you visit Jerusalem,
当你去拜访耶路撒冷的时候
and you want to take a taxi to the Temple Mount,
那你想要坐计程车到这个圣殿山
if you speak Hebrew,
如果你会说希伯来文
you say to the taxi driver,
你就会告诉计程车司机
please take me to Har Habayit,
你就会告诉他说请你带我到 Har Habayit,
literally means the mountain of the house,
这个意思就是屋子的山或房子的山。
What I'm saying here, friends,
所以在这里我要告诉各位的是
in Acts chapter 2,
在使徒行传第二章里
this is not a small meeting with some lonely believers in somebody's upper room.
这个呢不是一大票人挤在一个孤单的信徒的 这个楼上房间里。
The believers were with everybody else. They were with all of Israel at the temple.
那这时候这一群信徒呢，是跟所有其他的以色列人聚集在圣殿里的。
It says at the place at the house where they were sitting.
这里在描述说，充满了他们所坐的屋子。
That's a Hebrew idiom for it, just that means that they were there, they were remaining there.
那这一种表达法呢，实际上是一个希伯来文的成语，表示说他们就留在那个地方。
So they were about to begin the celebration of Shavuot.
因为他们即将要开始庆祝五旬节。
Only something else was going to happen that they would never ever dream of.
但是呢，又发生了一些他们连做梦都没想到的事。
Who are these people anyway?
这群人到底是谁呀？
There are thousands of Israelites present that day, and they were some of them.
那一天有好几千的以色列人都在那里，而这群人只是其中的一部分。
But we are talking about part of the believing remnant, the believers in Yeshua.
但是我们这里讲到的这群人呢，他们就是所谓的渔民，忠心的渔民，是相信耶稣的犹太信徒。
The Bible describes us as a temple, as a tabernacle.
圣经这样来描述我们，说我们就是会幕，我们就是圣殿。
We are the tabernacle of God.
所以我们就是神的会幕。
We are a living tabernacle.
我们是活的会幕。
And this living tabernacle was about to be anointed to take the good news to the four corners of the earth.
而这个活的会幕即将要领受膏油，要把这个福音传到地极。
This living tabernacle in Acts was just about to start functioning as God's tabernacle.
使徒行传这里的这活的会幕即将要开始啊，就是以身为神的永生神的会幕。来开始并作了。
So what happened in Leviticus chapter 9?
因此利未记第九章里面发生什么事呢？
Everything was ready to go.
一切都预备妥当，可以开始了。
Then wham, God breaks through.
然后哇，神的火下来了。
God lights up the fire on the altar.
是神点燃祭坛上的火的。
The same thing happened here in Acts.
所以在使徒行传同样的事情又发生了。
To understand Acts chapter 2, we need Leviticus chapter 9.
所以要正确的来了解使徒行传第二章，我们就必须要明白利未记第九章。
I don't know if you can see the picture well enough or not.
我不知道各位看不看得清楚这张图。
In Acts chapter 2, they were before the Lord, ready to start functioning as God's living tabernacle.
好，所以使徒行传第二章，现在这群信徒聚集在神的圣殿里面，开始预备好要成为神活的会幕来运行了。
And then once again, God lights the fire.
而再一次，我们看见神亲自点火。
There came upon them what looked like tongues of fire, it says in the text.
所以圣经里面告诉我们说，有这个火焰的舌头显现出来。
Once again, God lights the fire.
所以我们又看到神点燃了这火。
They were in Shavuot was the first fruits holy day.
The
Shavuot was the first fruits holy day, a celebration of the first fruits.
Okay, 这个五旬节呢，就是庆贺初熟的果子的节日。
On this Shavuot in Acts chapter 2,
在使徒行传第二章的这个五旬节，
being together with each other,
大家聚集在一处，
in the presence of God,
在神的同在，
anointed with his fire,
而且有他的火的膏抹，
equipped with the message of the good news about Yeshua,
而且有关于耶稣的这种福音的来装备他们。
This holy tabernacle started functioning like a living and holy tabernacle and started preaching the good news.
所以这个会幕开始以活的会幕来运作，开始传扬福音。
And later on in the chapter we read that on that day, 3,000 people became believers.
那这一章我们再读下去就会发现，同一天就有3,000个人信主了。
That was the first fruits of many, many millions more to come.
Amen. 所以这3,000个人就是初熟的果子，以后有数百万的人要加入这个行业。
You see, Acts chapter 2 is an incredible chapter.
所以使徒行传第二章真的是奇妙的经文。
How much more incredible it is if we connect with Leviticus chapter 9.
那如果我们把第二章跟利未记的第九章能够连接起来，那你就真的是会更感受到其中的奇妙。
After our break, we'll move on to Leviticus 11 to 15.
好，休息一下，等一下我们继续看利未记十一章到第十五章。
Welcome back.
欢迎再回来。
Thank you for the wonderful music we've been having today.
也为今天我们在吟唱的这些很美的歌来感谢。
We're supposed to finish our session at 5:30.
我们下午这一堂呢是五点钟结束。
I think you can probably tell that we probably will not finish Leviticus.
那大家可能会想到说利未记讲不完的。
We'll go as far as we can.
但是呢我们尽力而为。
At 5 o'clock or a little bit afterwards,
五点或大概五点以后一点
I'll stop teaching.
我就会停止教导的功课。
And we'll take time for some of these questions that have been passed to us.
然后我们就开放问答时间。
They're good questions, and I think you've been so patient all day, I think you deserve the attention.
这些呢都是很好的问题，而且各位呢今天一整天上课下来都很专心，所以应该要好好的回答你们的问题。
Now, as we approach the next section of Leviticus,
好，我们现在来看利未记的下一段落。
I want to step back for the picture again.
要各位呢再一次就是退一步来看宏观。
And say some more comments about how to read the Torah.
然后再想一想我们要怎么样来看妥拉。
A lot of times we cannot understand the Torah.
很多时候我们不明白妥拉。
Especially Leviticus.
特别是利未记。
Because we're looking too close at the picture.
因为呢我们是太靠近在看。
It's like a piece of artwork.
就像一件艺术作品。
If you look too close, we'll see the brush strokes and not see its beauty.
我们呢，如果拿得太近看的话，只看见那个笔触但是你看不见它画出来的整个画面。
The Torah, all five books of the Torah are literary masterpieces.
所以摩西五经里面的每一卷书都是上乘之作。
And sometimes it's really helpful to appreciate them for what they are.
有时候就是就它本身来欣赏就很棒了。
That means that it's fun to see how the writer writes the books.
也就是说能够去欣赏作者怎么样去架构那一卷经书。
There's constant repetition of certain words or phrases.
比方说在那一卷书里面有一些重复出现的用词。
And then there's careful, sometimes very careful transitions from concept to concept.
有时候你也会看见从一个观念它要转到下一个观念的时候之间的转折是相当精细的。
And we find an example of that beautiful writing here in chapter 10.
那在第十章里面呢我们就会看到一篇很美的写作的风格。
There's a few elements at play here in chapter 10. Chapter 10.
在第十章里面我们可以看到几个要素。
In chapter 10, we have a story.
在第十章里面呢我们看到一个故事。
Two of Aaron's sons.
这是亚伦的两个儿子。
Are now beginning their work. Have now begun their work.
他们呢开始供职。
And they take some matters into their own hands and offer up to God something that shouldn't have been offered.
但是呢他们就按自己的方式凭自己的血气向神献上了一些不该献的东西。
And we may say, well listen, they're new at this, they haven't really done it a whole lot, it was just a simple mistake.
或许呢我们可以这样想哎呀他们新上任嘛这一切也不熟所以总是会犯几个错误啊。
A simple mistake is one thing.
一个就是单纯是犯错这是一回事。
But when there's something that causes that mistake, it's something else.
但是你犯这个错误的动机是什么使你做出了犯了这个错误这是另外一回事。
And I think we have a hint here in the text about what caused their mistake.
那从这段经文我们得到暗示大概可以知道是什么使他们犯了这个错。
They were offering fire, some kind of a fire to the Lord.
他们呢就是向神 用香献上某种火。
What specifically was the problem is not 100% clear, nor is it that important.
那到底是什么问题呢？这里没有百分之百的告诉我们，那这个也不是那么重要。
The important thing is that they did it contrary to God's command.
但是重点在于，他们所做的是违背神所吩咐的。
Service in the tabernacle is not a place to be innovative.
在这个会幕里面的服事呢，不是你有什么新的想法要来创新的时候。
The tabernacle was a place for people to approach God.
因为会幕是人来靠近神的地方。
And God is going to make it very, very clear how He wants to be approached.
所以神对于人怎么接近他的方式呢？他讲得很清楚，很简单。
That's the important concept.
这是一个相当重要的概念。
It's like, again, I go back to illustrate about Devorah.
就再一次拿这个我的太太 Devorah 做示范。
Sometimes I would do things like bring something to her, buy her a gift, or do things for her.
有时候呢，我会为我的太太做点事，或者说为她买一份礼物。
Thinking that I'm making her happy, and she'll like this.
那我自认为说，哎，这样她一定很开心呢，她会很喜欢我这样做了。
And she's about as gracious as one can imagine.
那他是一个很恩待的恩待人的人。
But sometimes she would take me aside and say, listen.
但是有时候他会把我叫到旁边说
Your heart
was
you had a huge heart.
你的心是很棒的。
But if you want to do something that pleases me,
但是如果你想要借着这件事来取悦我的话
don't try to guess.
不要用你自己的想法去猜。
Let me tell you what pleases me.
你就直接问我，我告诉你做什么样的事能够让我开心。
How simple.
就这么简单。
I don't have to guess what kind of presents to get her.
所以呢，我不需要去猜应该要为她买什么礼物。
I know exactly if I listen to her what pleases her.
因为我如果听她的话，我就知道什么东西能够使她开心。
On a higher level, take God.
好，那我们再把层级往上提，就是说跟神之间的关系。
We don't have to guess what makes God happy.
所以我们也不需要猜测要做什么才能够讨神的喜悦。
He's told us already.
因为他已经告诉我们了。
It's in His word.
说就是很清楚的在他的话里面告诉我们的。
I don't know the motive behind what Nadav and Abihu did.
我不知道这个亚伦的两个儿子拿达跟亚比户到底做了什么，以及他们的动机是什么。
But if their intention was to please God,
但是如果他们的用意是要来讨神喜悦，
God is going to make it very, very clear that we should not guess what pleases Him, just do what His Word says.
但是在这里呢，通过这个故事，神很清楚地告诉我们，你不要去猜测要做什么才能讨神喜悦，你只要遵照神的吩咐就行了。
And so once again, fire comes out, but this time it consumes them.
所以再一次我们看到神的火下来了，但这一次是吞噬了这两个儿子。
Now this story is important.
这个故事呢很重要。
Because it sets up for us what's going to come next in Leviticus.
因为这个呢为立位记底下要发生的做了一个前提。
But I'm going to save that for a few more moments yet.
好，但是我就是再用一点时间来说明。
In chapter 10,
在第十章
verse 8,
十章的第八节。
The Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons are not to drink wine or other fermented drink whenever you go into the tent of meeting, or you will die.
耶和华晓谕亚伦说，你和你儿子进会幕的时候，清酒浓酒都不可喝，免得你们死亡。
Now what's the story here?
这里又发生什么事呢？
Is God against alcoholic beverages?
是不是神很反对酒呢？
Of course not.
当然不是。
Wine was one of the parts of the Mincha offering.
这个 Mincha 就是我们刚才看到的平安祭其中的一部分是酒。
Wine is described in Scripture as that which gladdens the heart.
那在圣经里面呢，他也描述说酒能使人的心喜悦。
It's not that God is against wine or any alcoholic beverage.
所以神并不反对酒或任何含酒精的饮料。
By the way, this word fermented drink could be the word for beer.
那这个所谓的发酵的饮料呢，也可以说就是啤酒。
God is not against wine and beer.
所以神他并不反对酒或者啤酒。
It's the author's literary device to tell us what the problem was with Nadab and Abihu.
这是利未记的作者呢，企图要告诉我们这个拿达跟亚比户的问题是什么。
Did they just make a simple mistake?
他们只是单犯了一个简单的错误而已吗？
Or were they simply drunk when they were performing their duties?
或者他们在供职的时候是醉酒的？
I think because of this teaching here in verse 8,
我想呢，因为第八节这样的教导，
the writer is trying to tell us to connect the two, Nadab and Abihu's sin with their drunkenness.
好，作者在这里呢，就企图让我们能够因着这一节跟拿达与亚比户所犯的罪呢，能够做一个连结。
Now, let's talk about how this chapter sets us up for what follows.
好，然后现在我们看看这一章又怎么样带出下面的。
One of the things that we can learn from this chapter,
我们可以从这一章里面学到一件功课，
is that God's holy place needs to be protected.
就是神的圣所需要受到保护。
It needs to be, God's presence on earth needs to be guarded.
神在地上的这个同在需要被守护。
And nothing must be mixed with His presence that would take away from the joy and beauty and holiness of His presence.
不能够有任何其他的事情呢，来混淆神的同在，以至于神的喜乐、神的平安跟神的爱与圣洁就被剥夺了。
Especially the sinful actions of a couple priests.
特别是祭司所犯的一些罪行。
Then Leviticus chapters 11 to 15.
那利未记十一章到第十五章。
Embarked on a new section in Leviticus.
就开始了利未记的另一个段落。
And it's probably the most difficult section of the entire book.
大概是利未记里面最困难的段落了。
Because the subject matter is so strange to us.
因为这个主题呢，对我们来讲是很陌生的。
There are two Hebrew words that are used frequently in these chapters.
在这些章节里面，常常用到两个希伯来文。
And they can help to clarify a little bit what's going on.
那这两个字可以帮助我们澄清一下这里到底是怎么回事。
But not entirely.
但是也不完全。
The Hebrew words are tahor and tamei.
这两个希伯来文呢是 tahor 跟 tamei.
I had to go forward a little bit. I don't know how. Hang on a second.
好，稍微等一下。
Okay, there they are. Tahor and tamei.
Tahor 跟 tamei.
What are these two Hebrew words? What do they mean?
那这两个希伯来文是什么意思呢？
They are extremely difficult words to translate to any language.
这两个字要翻成任何语言都相当的困难。
Tahor.
Tahor.
There are various ways that this has been rendered into other languages.
可以翻成其他语言哦，有不同的方式来翻。
One way is clean.
其中一个是干净
Another way is pure.
另外一个是纯洁
Neither one of these words really do it justice.
但是干净或纯洁纯净其实也没有把它真正的意涵道出来
Because when we use the word clean we're talking about something that's not dirty.
因为当我们使用干净这个字我们大概是想说哦，不脏的东西
And that's not what this Hebrew word is communicating.
但是希伯来文这个字呢，并不是要表达这个意思。
And when we use the word pure,
当我们用纯净的时候，
we're talking about something that has some kind of good moral quality to it.
我们就纯洁了哦，纯洁那个意思好像有就是好的这种道德品质在其中。
And so that's not really good translation.
但这也不是很好的翻译。
The opposite of tahor is the second word, tamei.
那塔霍的相反呢就是第二个字塔妹
And its translations are the opposite of what is given for tahor
那塔妹的翻译呢就是塔霍的相反的意思
When something is tamei we say that it's unclean
所以当一个东西是塔妹的时候就是不干净的
But we have the same problem
但是问题一样。
We think that something's really dirty.
就是我们认为啊，那个东西真的很脏。
Maybe sinfully dirty.
或者是像犯罪一样的那种污秽。
And that's not good.
但这个不好。
It's the same thing with pure. Tamei has been translated as impure.
那tamei要翻成中文说不纯洁。
But that's not a good translation either.
但这样的翻译也不是很好的翻译。
Because we think if something is impure, it must be something like immoral.
因为我们一想到不纯洁，那个意思就是这个道德上面有瑕疵的，不好的。
And tamei doesn't mean that.
可是这不是tamei真正的意思。
So the last word has not been in by scholars about the best way to translate these words.
因此呢，这个学者们也还没有确定这两个字要怎么翻才是最好。
The best that I could come up with for today.
那今天我所能够给予最好的
is that these are two words that describe a person's ability to participate in the tabernacle.
那这两个字呢，用来描述一个人参与在会幕里面的活动的能力。
Tahor means that a person is permitted to participate.
Tahor 的意思是这个人被允准能够参与。
Tamei means that a person is not permitted to participate.
那 tamei 的意思就是这不准这个人参与在其中。
Between Leviticus 10 to 15, we have certain things that renders a person tahor or tamei.
那在利未记十章到十五章里面，我们就可以看到这个人呢，就有一些描述说他有没有被允准去参与在会幕里面的活动。
A priest can become tamei when he does what Nadab and Abihu did.
好，一个祭司可能成为tamei的情形，因为他做了像拿达与亚比户所做的事。
By executing his office contrary to God's word.
就是他没有按照神的吩咐去执行他的任务。
But it doesn't stop there.
但是也不在这里就停止了。
Chapters 11 to 15 cover many other areas of life.
11章到15章也涵盖了很多其他生命的层面。
Chapter 11, for example, talks about food.
比方说第11章讲到食物。
It's not just food for the priest, but food for all of Israel.
不是只给祭司吃的食物，而是对整个以色列人。
It's really actually a simple chapter to understand.
事实上这一章是很容易懂的。
But a difficult chapter for people to receive.
但是呢，人们要来读这一章，领受这一章里面的信息呢，却是相当困难的。
The saying is true in every culture.
那在每一个文化里面都是一样的。
You do not come between a person and his stomach.
你不要呢挡在一个人跟他的胃中间。
So for that reason, I'm not going to spend much time in chapter 11.
为此之故呢，我不会对十一章做太多的探讨。
I'd like to be invited back.
因为我希望你们再度邀请我回来。
But I just need to say this.
不过呢，我需要这么说。
The food discussion in chapter 11 tells us what is tahor and what is tamei in regard to food.
在第十一章里面呢，他就把食物分成洁净的跟不洁的。
Then the next chapters talk about a person's body emissions.
好，那下一章呢，就提到这个人身上流出来的这些液体。
Sometimes stuff comes out of our bodies that is either tahor or tamei.
所以有时候从我们身上流出来的这些液体呢，不是洁净的，就是不洁的。
And the next chapters talk about the places we live in.
那下一章提到我们所居住的地方。
Sometimes stuff happens to make our places tahor and tamei.
有时候会有一些因素啊，使我们居住的地方成为洁净的或不洁的。
In these chapters, we are told what happens if something is tamei.
那在这些章节里面，我们也知道，如果有一些不洁的事物发生的时候，该怎么处理。
That is, what happens if a person or an object is renders a person unable to participate in the mishkan?
也就是说，这个人或这个物品呢，因为不洁，所以他没有办法被允许参与在会幕的活动里。
Well, in most cases, it's not a problem.
大部分呢，这不造成问题。
It's not the end of the world.
也不是世界末日。
Moses describes a procedure to go from being tamei to tahor.
因为摩西在这里也描述怎么样从不洁变成干净的啊，变成洁净的这样的一个过程。
It's a very easy procedure.
这个程序其实相当简单。
And in most cases, it just means that the next day you can participate again if you go through this procedure.
大部分的时候就是说，如果你走完这个程序，隔天你就可以再参与在会幕里的活动了。
Now, but sometimes it gets more serious than that.
但是有时候情况会比较严肃一点。
Because sometimes part of the procedure involves going to see the priest.
因为有时候在这个程序当中呢，包括要去见祭司。
And temporarily being set apart from the community.
然后你必须要短暂跟这个社区里面的人分隔出来。
Why would this happen?
为什么会有这样的情形发生呢？
The best we could conclude is by looking at the consequences.
那我们可以得到的最好结论呢，就是通过你看这事件会带出来的结果来做评断。
I want to take the statement back. I didn't mean to say it yet.
等一下，再倒带一下。
The idea of going to see a priest
要去见祭司这么一回事。
Contains the idea that maybe there's a spiritual issue involved here.
可能就含括着说啊，这个要去见祭司了，这跟灵性的问题有关。
And so they would talk it over.
所以呢，他们可以把它谈开了。
And if there's something spiritual that may have brought this condition on,
如果你现在这状况是属灵的情况啊，光景所造成的
，then a confession of sin might be in order.
那么可能就需要做认罪的动作。
And the separation from the camp,
然后跟这个营里面的人区隔出来。
Might be designed to help the person to think about what's going on in his life.
这个设计是叫这个人好好的反省沉淀一下自己现在生命的光景。
It's very, very important to realize, to remember this.
所以记得这一点是相当相当重要的。
Not everything that renders a person tamei is sinful.
不是每一件造成这个人不洁的事情都是有罪的。
It's just that.
Just a minute. 那个车牌 Z34002, 那个绿色车子哈，在对面那气象台遐哈，麻烦你随开走哈。车牌 Z34002 绿色车子，好，告诉阿姐，对面的气象台呀，后这台车还继续开着，哈，这里两位发的。
Back to our discussion.
好，回到我们的讨论。
One of the examples of a person being in a condition called tamei.
好，如果一个人落入在不洁的光景里
，It's a woman who has her monthly cycle or has just had a baby.
根据记载呢，就是刚生产完的，或者是有月经的妇女。
Neither one of those conditions is sinful.
那这两个情况都不是罪造成的。
Neither one of those conditions is dirty or unclean or bad.
这两个情况也不是什么不洁净或者是不好的。
Yet they declare they cause a person to be not temporarily not able to participate in the tabernacle.
然而因为这个状况呢，这个人就暂时不能够参与在会幕的活动里。
In this case, both examples involve the emission of blood.
那在这两个例子里面呢，都跟流血有关系。
And the life is in the blood.
因为生命在于血。
And so I can't really go into this today.
今天呢，我们没有办法就这一点来探讨。
It's God emphasizing the importance of blood.
但是呢，其实是神在强调血的重要性。
But sometimes a person's unconfessed sin can render him tamei.
但是有时候，如果一个人有没有认的罪，那也会造成这一个人不洁。
And Leviticus 13 and 14, maybe even 15 rather.
利未记十三、十四，甚至到十五章
，describes what is commonly called leprosy.
有描述我们一般所谓的这个大麻风。
Leprosy is not leprosy.
Leprosy is not leprosy.
Yeah, yeah.
好，但是大麻风不是我们一般所认为的大麻风。
What we call leprosy today,
今天我们讲到大麻风
is not the same as biblical leprosy.
跟圣经时代的大麻风不一样。
Today, leprosy is a name given to a skin problem, a nerve problem.
那今天我们说到大麻风，这是一个神经系统出现的问题。
Where if there's a nail here and I rub over it, I don't feel it. If there's a nail sticking out and I rub it, I don't feel it.
好，比方说，如果现在这里有一个铁钉呢，那你有这个大麻风，你这样摸，你是感受不到的。
And eventually, my skin will wear away and I'll get diseased.
那到最后呢，我的皮肤也会腐烂掉，然后我就有这个病了。
In English, it's called Hansen's disease. I don't know if you have that in Chinese or not.
Hansen.
Yeah, never mind. Okay. So that's modern-day leprosy.
因此，这就是我们现代人对大麻风的观念。
Biblical leprosy, however,
但是在圣经时代的大麻风
，according to these chapters of Leviticus, is different.
按照利未记这些章节所描述的是不一样的。
Biblical leprosy seems to be a supernatural skin disease.
圣经里面的这个大麻风呢，好像是一种超自然的皮肤病。
A skin affliction that God gives to His covenant people.
是神降在跟他立约百姓身上的一种皮肤疾病。
Because they were unfaithful to His covenant.
因为他们不忠于神的约。
The solution to that.It's not to see a doctor.
所以解决这个问题呢，不是去找医生，
but to go to the priest.
而是要去找祭司。
Because there might be a spiritual issue going on.
因为可能有一个灵性的问题啊，存在这个人身上。
Now, I understand that chapters 11 to 15 are extremely difficult to figure out.
我知道要解开11章到15章，这是相当困难的。
This is the best I can in the time we have to make it some sense to us.
那在我们有限的时间里面呢，我只能这样子做，来让各位稍微明白。
In my opinion,
在我的想法里，
we need to understand the tahor and tamei and skin disease problem.
我们也需要明白洁净跟不洁的，以及这个皮肤病。
Presented in these chapters,
就是从这些章节里面所呈现出来的，什么是洁净的，什么是不洁的，跟这个皮肤的疾病。
In order to understand the ministry of Yeshua,
了解了之后，我们才能够更正确的明白耶稣的服事。
Did we ever stop to think why the Gospels present Yeshua as ministering to so many lepers?
你有没有想过，在福音书里面，为什么耶稣服侍那么多长大麻风的人？
Why were there so many lepers in Israel?
然后以色列怎么会有那么多的麻风病人？
And why did Yeshua spend time particularly ministering to these people?
那为什么耶稣要特别花时间服侍这些人？
I think part of the answer, if not most of the answer, lies in our understanding of Leviticus.
那么这个部分答案的部分呢，就是来自于我们对利未记的了解。
That sometimes when there's an unconfessed sin,
有时候当有一些没有承认的罪，
God could afflict His covenant people with a supernatural problem.
神可能就会降下一些超自然的问题临到他百姓的身上，也就是跟他立约的百姓身上。
Therefore,
因此
When I read leprosy in the Newer Covenant Scriptures,
当我在新约里面读到有大麻风的时候，
I do not think modern leprosy.
我的脑海里面不是具备有这个现代人对麻风病的看法。
I think biblical leprosy.
而是用圣经里面对麻风病的看法在看。
Because it has to do with the same people.
因为呢，他所提到的百姓对象是同一群人。
Perhaps.
或许。
I say perhaps.
我说或许
Perhaps many in Israel were unfaithful to God's covenant.
或许在以色列当中有很多人不忠于神的约
And God sent, like He did in Leviticus, supernatural skin disease to afflict them.
所以呢，神就在那个福音书的时代呢，像在利未记的时代一样，降下这个超自然的皮肤疾病那在他百姓的身上，使他们受苦
Because they had not repented and confessed their sin.
因为他们必须要通过悔改，然后来承认他们的罪。
When Yeshua comes along and heals the lepers,
当耶稣来，然后医好了这个长大麻风的病人。
He is therefore not healing modern leprosy.
他在那里并不是要医治我们现代人所谓的麻风病。
But he's doing, he's right in the pages of Leviticus 11 to 15.
他所做的事正是利未记11章到15章所描述的。
If he hears, if he, he's dealing with the people's spiritual condition.
所以他医治麻风病人事实上是在处理他们属灵的问题，灵性的问题。
When they had their sins forgiven, they would be healed of leprosy.
然后当这些人的罪得赦免的时候，他们的麻风病也得医治了。
So if that's true,
如果真的是这样，
then once again, it's difficult to understand something happened in the New Covenant Scriptures.
那么有时候要了解新约里面的经文呢是困难的。
Without understanding Leviticus.
如果你没有先了解利未记。
One more comment about these chapters.
好，对这些章节再一个评论。
These chapters are teaching us something else important.
这些章节里面呢还教另外一件重要的功课。
I said it already, but I'll repeat it.
我以前说过了，但是我再重述一次。
The presence of God on earth must be protected.
神在地上的同在需要得到守护。
It's special.
特别。
It's, coming to him is not like going to one of the pagan gods.
来到神面前不像去偶像的面前一样。
Living a life for him, being one of his people, is not the same as being like everybody else.
为神而活，成为神的子民，就跟其他的人不一样的。
Frequently, in these chapters and the rest of the book, he says this sentence.
好，在这些章节里面以及利未记其他的章卷书卷呢，我们常常看到他重述这句话。
Be holy.
你们要圣洁。
Because I am holy.
因为我是圣洁。
What did that mean?
这是什么意思呢？
Probably you're well taught this already, so in case you don't remember, let me go through it again.
或许约尔对这个已经有做一些教导了，但是如果你忘记了，我就再讲一次。
We often think of the word holy as something that's moral, has something to do with our morals or our ethics.
常常我们一想到圣洁这个字，总是把它跟我们的道德我们的道德感连在一起。
It is, but indirectly.
是这样，但是并不是这么直接。
The word holy in Hebrew, kadosh,
希伯来文的 holy, kadosh,
means to be separate.
意思就是分别出来。
And number of years ago,
几年前
archaeologists
考古学家
uncovered a city in modern Lebanon on the coast.
在现代的所谓的黎巴嫩的海岸呢，发现了一个东西。
And this city's name was Ugarit.
发现了一个城市，这个城市叫 Ugarit.
It was a major archaeological find.
这是一个很重大的考古学的发现。
Because it contained a huge library.
因为在这个城里面呢，有一个很大的图书馆。
It turns out that Ugarit was a Canaanite city.
那 Ugarit 呢，后来他们确定是迦南的一个城市。
These were Canaanites that lived on the coast.
那就是住在海岸边的这些迦南人。
Now we know that the Canaanite language.
我们知道迦南人的语言
is a sister language to Hebrew.
是跟这个希伯来文有所关系的。
It's much closer than Cantonese and Mandarin, for example.
这个迦南人的语言呢就是比较靠近希伯来文，而不靠近像广东话呀或华文中文的。
To our untrained ears, we wonder why can't you understand each other? They're both speaking Chinese.
所以对我们这个没有受过训练的耳朵呢，我们会觉得很奇怪。哎，奇怪，你这个讲普通话的怎么跟讲广东话的没有办法沟通呢？不都是华人吗？不都是中文吗？
Yeah, we fail to realize it's two different languages.
但是我们不明白的是，哎，这广东话跟中文是两种完全不一样的语言。
But Canaanite and Hebrew not only sound alike, they could actually understand each other to a degree.
但是迦南人的语言跟希伯来人的语言呢，不仅语言听起来相近啊。他们如果讲各方的话，还可以彼此了解。
And scholars have examined this ancient library at Ugarit.
所以呢，这个学者就去考究这个古代图书馆，就是在 Ugarit 这个城市里面的这座古代图书馆。
And found many words that are similar to Hebrew words.
发现有很多字跟希伯来文相近。
And therefore, we can understand some Hebrew words when we compare them with Canaanite words.
因此呢，如果我们跟就是把它跟迦南文做对比的话，也可以了解。
This is certainly the case with the word for holy.
好，那在这里呢 ，holy 圣洁这个字，我们就可以这样来做对照。
In the Ugaritic Library，
在这个 Ugarit 城里面所发现的图书馆里
，the word kadosh，
kadosh 这个字
，translated holy，
就是被翻成圣洁的这个字
，is used in reference to Canaanite temple prostitutes。
其实呢，是用来指迦南神庙里面的这些庙妓。
You know the Canaanites worship Baal.
你知道迦南人是敬拜巴利的。
And his wife Ashtaroth.
以及他的妻子亚瑟拉。
And their father El.
以及他们的父亲 El.
And a host of other gods.
还有好多其他的神祗。
They have their own temples, their own way of.Approaching their gods.
他们有自己的神庙以及他们亲近他们神祗的方式。
And they would sometimes reenact what they desired to get.
那他们呢常常就是去参与这些祭拜的活动企图得着他们想要的。
So if Ashtaroth was a fertility goddess,
那个亚瑟拉呢是掌管生育的女神。
They would have temple prostitutes.
所以呢他们当时就有庙妓。
So that people can reenact that act to get fertility.
然后就有实际参与在这种这性交的活动里面呢，来成为一种敬拜，来得着他们心中想要的。
The temple prostitutes were referred to as holy.
那那时候呢，他们就会称这个神庙里面的庙妓是圣洁的。
It teaches us that to be holy does not necessarily mean to be moral or ethical.
就这个案这个个案来看呢，我们知道圣洁这个字不是指道德上面的这种崇高。
But it does mean to be set apart.
但是圣洁这个字的意思是分别出来。
Not just anybody could use those prostitutes. They were set apart for that temple's use.
不是每一个人都可以成为那个神庙的庙妓这些特定的人被分别出来在这个特定的神庙里面做这样的服事。
So bring that understanding over into the Bible.
现在把这一个想法带到圣经里面来看。
In these chapters, God says, I'm holy.
在这些章节里面神说我是圣洁的。
Which means that don't approach me the way that people approach Baal and Ashtaroth and so forth.
意思也就是说你们来接近我的方式不要像那些外邦人去接近亚瑟拉巴利的这种方式。
Don't approach me casually.
不要随随便便的来接近我。
Like Nadav and Abihu did.
像这个拿达跟亚比户所做的。
I must be approached my own way and I will tell you that way.
你们要来亲近我必须要有用我所吩咐你们的方式来行。
In the same way, you are holy.
同样的你们也是圣洁的。
Says God.
神这样说。
We are holy.
我们是圣洁的。
What does that mean?
这是什么意思呢?
Which means that we are different.
意思就是说我们是不一样的。
And starting in Leviticus 11,
从利未记第十一章
and really running the whole entire length of the rest of the book,
以及以后的这个整卷书
we find teaching and instruction that covers absolutely every area of our lives.
我们可以找到关乎生命当中每一个领域的教导跟指示
It starts with what we think is most important, the stuff we eat.
从我们认为最重要的东西开始也就是我们的食物
He says, a chicken is okay, but a snake, forget.
Snake.
A snake, don't eat a snake, eat a chicken.
他说啊，鸡肉可以吃，蛇肉不可吃。
It's not that there's something wrong with a snake.
并不是蛇肉不对。
But God just declared on his own way, this is acceptable, that's not acceptable.
但是神就是这样宣告说，这个是可接受的，这个是不可接受的。
Eat this way.So that you can be a people that is different from everybody else.
你要照着我所吩咐的这样吃，好让你成为一群跟其他人不一样的百姓。
Then he talks about the stuff that comes out of our body and the places we live in.
然后他又提到我们从我们身体流出来的这些液体以及我们所居住的地方。
This is how you handle these things, not like everybody else, handle it my way.
那你要用我的方式来处理这些事情，不要像其他的人一样的方式。
Later on in the book, he will talk about every other area of life.
那之后呢，他又提到生命其他领域的这些指示。
And all with the purpose of saying, this is how God's people are to live.
总而言之，这个目的就是要指示神的百姓说，你们应该要这样生活。
It sets them apart, makes them separate.Different.
使他们能够被分别出来，与其他的人不同。
By living that way, they will separate themselves from their neighbors, the Canaanites.
通过这样的生活方式，让他们与这个邻国迦南人不一样。
And they will not be inclined to go to the way of the Canaanites in all their worship.
那他们也不会被吸引进入迦南人的生活方式，以及参与他们的敬拜。
That's the whole purpose for this whole thing.
所以这就是这个整个立位记的一个目的。
So if we understand this,
因此如果我们明白这点，
Leviticus can be kind of scary.
立位记可能有点吓人。
The last thing we want to do in our life is to be different.
因为我们人呢，最不想做的就是跟别人都不一样。
Believe me, I know that.
相信我，我很了解这种不同于别人的这种感受。
Some places I go to and all people do just stare at me.
因为我到过一些地方呢，然后那当地的人呢，只是瞪着我看。
It's not fun.
被人家就是视为不同或异类，这不是一种好的感觉或好玩的事。
And it talks about not just how we look, but our clothes, our food, our houses, our everything.
那这立位记里面描述的不仅是你的外表，包括你的食物、你的衣着、你的住处。
God tells us that we are to be different.
神告诉我们，我们要有别于众人。
He does not protect us from that embarrassment.
He does not protect
us. I don't like that one. Try it again.
Okay.
So the goal in life is not to be so close to the world that people can't tell the difference.
所以我们可以这样说，目标何在？这个立位记的教导的目标呢，就是让我们呢不要那么接近世人，以致世人已经在神的百姓跟世人当中没有办法分别了。
In Leviticus, God says His covenant people are different.
在立位记里面，神说与他立位的百姓是一群不同的百姓。
We are different, aren't we?
我们都不同，不是吗？
There's something that's different about us from everything else.
在我们当中，与其他的一切是有一些不一样的地方，不是吗？
We are new creations.
因为我们是新造的人。
They are not.
外面的人还不是。
What does a new creation look like?
那新造的人是什么样子呢？
On the outside,
在外面看起来是什么样子呢？
Leviticus gives us that description.
所以在立位记里面就有这些描述。
Please, we must need to remember that.
我们必须要记得。
And if we let ourselves be guided by the instructions of Leviticus,
如果我们能够接受立位记指示的引导，
we need to be prepared to.Give others an answer when they make fun of us.
那么当别人嘲笑我们的时候，我们应该要预备好，知道怎么样回应他们。
We need to remember that we are different.
我们要记得。
We are different whether we like it or not.
我们要记住，不管你喜不喜欢，你都是有别于世人的人。
Because God made us different.
因为神就是造我们这样的不一样。
And here he's providing a way for us to show that difference. We cannot hide it.
那在这里呢，他就提供了一个方式，让世人很清楚看见我们不一样，这是无法隐藏的。
I think if we could approach Leviticus 11 to 15 in that way, it'll make a lot more sense.
如果我们用这种角度来看立位记11章到第15章，你就比较能够了解。
I have to be honest with you and tell you I don't understand everything in those passages.
那我也必须要在这里坦诚说，这些章节里面的所记载的，我不是每一件都懂。
But I seek to understand it given the context that I just gave you.
但是呢，我从我刚才给各位介绍的这些背景里面来寻求了解这些章节。
Next we come to chapter 16.
现在我们看第16章。
Chapter 16 of Leviticus stands by itself.
这个第十六章呢，立位记的第十六章可以算是独立的一章。
It's unique.
是很独特的。
It's about a certain day.
这里讲到一个特定的日子。
In a certain place.
而且一个特定的地方。
And a certain person.
以及特定的人。
For a certain reason.
为了一个特定的理由。
But the reason why we had this information in chapter 16.
但是我们为什么在第十六章里面有这些资讯？
Is given for us at the beginning of the chapter.
在这一章一开始就告诉我们了。
Here is another one of those literary devices.
这里呢，我们可以看到另外一个文学写作上的设计。
Chapter 16, verse 1 says.
十六章的第一节说。
The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron who died when they approached the Lord.
亚伦的两个儿子进到耶和华面前死了，死了之后耶和华晓谕摩西说。
Well, that happened 5 chapters ago.
这个事件呢是五章之前就发生的。
But here, God is, let me try it again. Here, the text is telling us to associate with Chapter 16 with the death of Aaron's two sons.
但是在这里呢，因为他以这个为起头啊，就是要告诉我们说，第十六章呢，你要跟亚伦两个儿子死这个事件连起来看。
That was a traumatic event in Israel's history.
他这两个儿子的死呢，在以色列的历史上是一个很大的事件。
Aaron's two sons died because they approached God their own way.
亚伦的两个儿子之所以会死，是因为他们用自己的方式来亲近神。
The point of Leviticus chapter 16.
那利未记第十六章的重点
is to show us that God wants to be approached.
告诉我们说，神渴慕我们来亲近他。
But He wants to be approached His own way.
但是他要我们用他的方式来亲近他。
You just can't approach God any way we want.
你不能用你自己想要的方式来亲近神。
I love movies, don't you?
我很喜欢看电影，各位呢？
Ever see the movie The Last Samurai?
有没有看过那个最后的 Samurai 这部电影？
Have you seen that?
末代武士吧，哎。
I love that movie. It's a great movie.
我很喜欢这部片子，很棒的片子。
The first time the Americans came to the Japanese Emperor.
就是第一次美国人到日本天皇的面前。
You could hear their British translator.
你可以听到这个英国的翻译官
as they're walking up the steps to the emperor,
当他们呢爬上阶梯要接近天皇
he's whispering to them,
他呢对他们轻声地说
take more steps, bow, take more steps, bow.
他就指导他们说你走四阶之后呢你就要跪拜一下然后再走几步然后再跪一下
Don't speak unless he speaks first.
然后呢在听我还没说话之前你千万不要说话
Then you can hear him whispering again when the conversation was over.
然后呢当他们的会话结束之后你又听到这个翻译官又在轻声地告诉他们
Rise carefully, back up slowly.
现在呢你慢慢地起身然后慢慢地后退
Well, this is the way it was with emperors and kings.
所以呢你要来接近一个皇帝或王就是要这么谨慎
You did not just walk into their court and say, Hi, Kinging, how are you doing?
你不会只闯皇宫然后跟他们说 Hey, 王啊你好今天好吗
There's respect due for the office.
他们呢因为他们位分的缘故他们是需要我们这样来尊重他们的。
We may not respect who holds the office, but there is respect for the office.
我们或许不尊重站在这个位置上面的这个人但是因为他所处的这个位置呢我们需要这样来尊重他们。
If that's true on a human level, how much more so is it true on God's level?
如果在人的世界里面都是这样的更何况在神的世界里面呢
Only on God's level, not only do we respect his office as our King of Kings, but we also respect the person.
但是在神的这个位置上面神的层级上面呢我们不仅要尊荣他是万王之王而且我们也尊荣这位神
And the King of Kings is saying in Leviticus chapter 16
那在利未记第十六章，这位万王之王
Here is how I am to be approached.
他告诉我们说，你们要来就近我，就是要这样做。
This is an incredibly important lesson to remember.
所以这是一个很重要的功课，一定要记得。
Undoubtedly, you may have heard something like this.
毫无疑问的，你一定听过像这样的话。
Why do you have to believe in Jesus?
你为什么要相信耶稣呢
？After all, there's Allah. He's just another God too. He's just like our God.
啊，他只不过也跟我们一样，就是也是神中的一位吧。
If people are sincere, they could call him Allah if they want.
Allah.
Allah, the Muslim God.
Allah. 哦，好，如果人们只要心存诚心啊，只要诚心，这个神，你给他另外一个名字叫阿拉也可以啊。
I get this in my world. I hear things like this.
在我的世界里面，我常常听到有人这样说。
All you got to do is be a very Torah observant Jew.
你所要做的就是谨守妥拉嘛，你就做这样谨守妥拉的犹太人就好了。
Be a good religious Jew who just loves God.
就做一个敬虔爱神的犹太人就好了嘛。
And if they're sincere, then really they don't really need Jesus.
那如果他们真的很诚挚，这样来信神，他们不需要耶稣的。
If the Muslims are sincere, they don't really need Jesus.
那如果回教徒对他们所拜的神也这么诚挚，也不需要耶稣啦。
Have you heard stuff like that?
有没有听过像这样的话
？Leviticus is telling us.
但是在利未记里面告诉我们
，We could not be further from the truth.
我们如果说这话真的是太远离真理了
God is the King of Kings
神他是万王之王
Which God?
哪一位神
The God of the Bible
就是圣经里面所描述的这位神
The God who has revealed himself in the scriptures
那位通过经文显明他自己的神
He's the only God
他是唯一的神
And he's not called Allah
他的名字不叫阿拉
Nor is he called anybody anything else.
他的名字也不是其他的名字。
He's told us what his names are.
他也直截了当告诉我们他的名字是什么。
He's told us what his character is.
他也把他的属性描述给我们知道。
He's revealed himself to us.
他是一个自显的神，他把他自己显明于我们。
And it's this God that tells us.
而这一位神，他告诉我们。
It's this God that sent his son to be the Messiah.
也是这位神差遣他的独生子成为弥赛亚。
Who says this?
他这样说
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
我就是道路、真理和生命。
Nobody comes to the Father except through me, says Yeshua.
耶稣说若不借着我没有人能到父那里去。
That should dispel any other notion of any other possible way of approaching God.
好这话就摒除了其他任何就近神的说法跟方法了。
This chapter of Leviticus is teaching essentially that same truth.
所以利未记十六章的教导基本上也是跟刚才耶稣的宣告是同一个本质的。
There is one God who has revealed himself in Scripture, and this is how he is to be approached.
只有一位神他通过圣经来显明他自己而且他要我们亲近他的方式是如同经文所记载的
Leviticus chapter 16
利未记第十六章
is full of some of the most incredible truths
有很多真的是很棒的真理
It describes what we call Yom Kippur or the Day of Atonement
这里呢对这个 Yom Kippur 就是赎罪日有一些描述
There's that word atonement again
这里我们又看到赎这个字
In one sense it has to do with assessing the worth of a human of a person and in one sense it has to do with assessing the worth of a person
所以这个字呢一方面来说它跟评估一个人的价值有关
In addition to that there's also the idea of a cleansing
除外这个字也有洁净的意思
It's one day of spiritual cleansing and physical cleansing for the tabernacle.
这个是在会幕里面所设立的很特别的一天，同时做这个自然界的跟灵界的洁净。
Spiritual cleansing and physical cleansing for the nation.
而且也是为整个国家的这个自然界跟灵界的洁净。
It happens every year, the same day.
而且每年都是在固定的一天。
And the book of Hebrews tells us
希伯来书里面也告诉我们
that if we study what was said and done in this day,
如果我们去查考在这一天里面所说的话跟所做的事
It will help us to understand and appreciate what Yeshua did when He atoned for our sins.
那么我们就能够更深去明白，当圣经描述耶稣赎我们的罪这件事的意涵。
So we don't have time to go into any of the details of this chapter.
但是我们现在没有办法去详细考察这一章的细节。
We'll go on to the next section.
我们要直接进入下一个段落。
Chapter 17 to 25 of Leviticus.
这是利未记17章到25章。
We already went through these, in these chapters,
在这些章节里,
we are given more, a more full discussion of what it means to be holy.
就是对圣洁这个概念呢有更多的探讨。
This is just what I described before. To be holy means to be set apart.
那之前我已经说过了圣洁的意思就是分别出来
There's something to add to this, however.
但是呢我们还可以再加上一些
Here is a picture of Israel. There's Israel.
这是以色列的 地那个形状
We have this drawn for us because it serves as a good illustration.We have this drawing because it serves as a good illustration.
这个呢可以做一个很好的说明，所以我们画了这张图。
You might notice, or you can't notice because you don't read English, but all around the borders of Israel.
但那在这个以色列形状的这个周围呢，我们有写一些字。
Is the word Torah.
那这个字呢，就是妥拉。
Torah, God's instruction.
妥拉就是神的指示。
Torah was given to his people
妥拉被赐予神的百姓
to help us to know where our boundaries are
就是帮助我们明白我们的界限要设在哪里
We go beyond Torah, we are outside of a very, very special place
如果呢我们超越妥拉的界限我们就到了一个不一样的地方了
Now within this map
好这是以色列的地图
It's a Hebrew word calledHamakom.
在里面呢我们有一个希伯来文叫 Hamakom.
Hamakom means the place.
Hamakom 的意思就是所在所在之处。
In rabbinic literature, it's a word that is another name for God.
那在拉比的文学里面呢其实神的名里面其中有一个就是这个 Hamakom, 所在。
The place of God's presence is Hamakom.
所以神同在的地方就叫 Hamakom.
It needs to be protected.
那这一个所在，这个所在之地呢，需要被保护。
The physical will illustrate the spiritual.
自然界的可以的事物可以来说明灵界的道理。
God gave the instructions of Leviticus to the people of Israel.
神在利未记里面给下对以色列的指示
to live in the land of Israel.
要活在以色列的土地上
and it's a one big teaching lesson, one big teaching tool.
所以这是一个很重要的教导工具
that just as Israel was a special place to live in,
就如同以色列是一块重要的土地神吩咐要我们住在其中
it has boundaries.
那以色列呢有它的边界
and it pictures our life as believers.
那现在我们把这个概念运用在信徒的生命当中
Who is inside of us?
谁住在我们里面呢
Hamakom himself
就是 Hamakom 他自己
In him is a special place
所以在神里面就是这个特别的所在
And he is in us
而这个所在就在我们里面
And we are in him
而我们也在他的里面。
And we know that we are not experiencing life to its fullest when we go beyond the boundaries.
如果我们的生活是超越这个界限的话，那么我们就没有办法全然活出我们的生命。
The boundaries is God's Torah.
而这个边界就是神的妥拉。
And so in these chapters in Leviticus,
因此在利未记的这些章节里面
we have instructions for priests to be holy,
我们有指示要祭司守圣洁
and we have instructions for the common Israelites to be holy.
然后一般的以色列人也有要圣洁的指示
and you can't separate them.
但是你不能够把他们分开。
Why?
为什么呢?
Because the priests were given by God.
因为祭司是神所给下的。
To teach the kingdom of priests how to be priests to the world.
这些祭司是神所设立，要教导其他的以色列人，也就是祭司的国度，怎么样成为祭司。
And so there's many instructions in chapters 17 to 25.
因此从17章到25章有很多的指示。
Sometimes the remarks are directed to the Levites, sometimes are directed to everybody.
有时候这些指示是直接针对利未人的，有些是针对所有人的。
The two are connected.
但是这两个之间是连接在一起的。
The priests were to instruct the kingdom of priests to be priests to the world.
祭司们就是要 指导这些祭司国度里面的人怎么样成为世人的祭司。
So what does holiness look like?
因此圣洁是怎么样一种情形呢?
There is a godly way to slaughter our animals.
杀这个牲畜呢 有它一种敬虔的方式。
And part of that,
属神的方式。
Part of that avoids drinking or eating blood.
那其中一点就是你要、避免跟饮用这个血。
Blood is set apart because it's sacred.
血呢被分别出来因为血是神圣的。
It pictures for us the sanctity of the blood of Messiah.
因为这个血预表着弥赛亚的 圣洁。
What does holiness look like?
所以圣洁是怎样一种光景呢?
There are instructions governing marriage and other social relationships, sexual relationships.
那在利未记里面也有对于婚姻还有其他性关系的指示。
There are,
怎么样去守护这些关系?
There are instructions concerning, farming.
还有关于耕作的一些指示。
Conducting business.
做生意的指示。
There is instruction concerning rituals.
还有关于一些祭仪的指示。
Handling gifts and offerings.
那怎么样处理、奉献跟所献上的礼物
then,
这样的指示。
And then chapters 23 to 24.
然后到23到24章。
God even has his own separate calendar for his people.
Calendar?
Calendar.
Okay. 神甚至有他自己的这个历法、哦、是要给他的百姓遵循的。
That's a whole seminar on itself.
在研究神所定的这些节期历法呢，我们就可以开整个研习会，就探讨 这方面的主题。
So we have to close at this point.
但是现在我们就要做结束了。
Because it's time.
因为时间到了。
Is simply put in chapter 26 of Leviticus.
第二十六章
There's a chapter about what we call blessings and curses.
这一章里面记载着祝福跟咒诅。
This reminds us that the document of Leviticus is a covenant document.
在这一章里面提醒我们，利未记这个、文件呢，它是一个关乎约的文字。
It's not a salvation document.
它不是关乎救恩的。
These instructions were never given so that people could use them to earn or keep their salvation.
神给下这些指示不是 要叫人借着遵循这些指示来得救或者是 保存他们的救恩保守他们的救恩。
They are merely descriptions of the covenant relationship that God's people have with him.
但是利未记里面的教导呢是描述神跟他立约的百姓当中的关系。
And when there is faithfulness to this covenant,
当神的百姓忠于这约
there is blessing.
祝福就临到。
When there is unfaithfulness to the covenant,
当他们不忠于这约
God told Israel there's trouble.
神告诉以色列患难就要临到。
The word curse does not mean curse like we commonly understand the word.
咒诅这个字呢也不像我们今天对咒诅的认知
I translated covenant difficulties
所以我把它翻成、这个约的困难处
And finally
最后
Chapter 27
第27章
is one chapter devoted to what we call vows.
那这一章是讲到许愿。
The blessings and problems listed in chapter 26,
26章里面所记载的祝福跟会遇到的一些困难
are in a sense God's vows to his people.
其实就是神对他百姓的誓言。
These are his promises to us.
这是他对我们的承诺。
That he voluntarily makes to us.
他是自愿啊，向我们许下这样的诺言的。
These are his voluntarily promises that telling us what he will do for them in their future.
这是他自己对他的百姓所许下的承诺，告诉他们将来他要做什么。
Then in chapter 27, the last book,
到了这个最后一卷，就是最后一章，就是第二十七章。
God therefore makes provision for us, his people, to make vows to him.
那神在这里呢，也答应他会供应我们，使我们能够对他许愿。
We do not have to make vows.
我们不需要许愿或者是发下誓言。
Just as God did not have to make promises.
就如同神他自己也可以不需要做承诺的。
But once we make a vow to the Lord,
但是我们一旦对神许愿，
we must keep our word.
我们一定要守住我们的这个承诺。
Because that's what God does for us.
因为神也是这样对待我们的。
So that rounds out the book of Leviticus.
好，那到了二十七章，这整卷书就结束了。
Chapters 1 to 7 was teaching about the offerings.
第一章到第七章是教导各种的祭。
Chapters 8 to 10 were teaching about the ordination of the priests.
八章到十章是对于祭司的案例跟圣化。
11 to 15 talk about Tahor and Tameh.
十一章到十五章是讲到洁净与不洁的。
16 is the Day of Atonement.
那16章单一章是讲到赎罪日。
17 to 25 is personal holiness.
17章到25章是讲到个人的圣洁。
26 are the covenant blessings and difficulties.
26章是讲到约所带来的祝福跟百姓若不忠于约所要面对的困境。
Or God's vows to us.
或者是神对我们的承诺。
And chapter
27 章
tell us how to make vows to God.
要指示我们怎么样向神许愿。
The book of Leviticus finishes verse 34, chapter
27. 好，27章的34节是这一卷书的结尾。
Verse 34, I'll read it first in English.
好，我先用英文读一次，然后我们可以一起来读第34节，27章34节。
These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the sons of Israel at Mount Sinai.
好，我们一起来。这就是耶和华在西乃山为以色列人所吩咐摩西的命令。
That, my friends, rounds out our survey of the book of Leviticus.
弟兄姊妹们，那这一句话就结束了我们对这个立位记的探索。
With the time remaining, we could take some questions.
好，那现在呢，到五点半我们开放问答时间。
Let me suggest this.
让我做这个建议。
Many of you are tired.
你们当中很多人或许累了。
And if you don't want to stay for this question time, maybe we'll give you 1 minute to take your absence, and then those who want to stay.We'll deal with questions.
那如果你要先走的话，我们就是用一分钟的时间啊，各位可以，如果必须要先离开，就休息一下，可以先走。那其他想要留下来听问答的，就可以留下来。
For anyone who wants, this is contact information. How you could contact us if you would like.
好，那如果想要我们联络的资讯呢，在投影片上。
Thank you.
谢谢各位。好，那我因为我们手边这里就有十二个问题了，好，所以我们就写下来这些问题做回应。好，第一个问题是，请问博伟志牧师，你留着胡须与你的鬓发对不对？你留着鬓发与胡子，与利未记十九章二十七节跟二十一章五节有关系吗？你是遵此而行的吗？
In Leviticus?
Yes, it has everything to do with it.
是跟这里面有关系的。
God simply instructs men in his covenant community to wear a beard.
神就是吩咐啊，在他跟他立约的这个社群里面的男人呢，都要留胡子。
If they can.
如果可以长胡子、留胡子的。
But if you listen to the reasoning, I think you'll see that this is a wonderful instruction.
但是如果你知道他各中的原因，你会觉得这是一个很棒的吩咐。
The reasoning is tied up in the Hebrew word again.
这一次他背后的原因呢，跟希伯来文有关。
The word for beard is zakan.
这个希伯来文胡子呢是 zakan 这个字。
It's a sister word from the same root to the word for elder.
它跟长老是同一个字根。
The word for elder is zakan.
长老的希伯来文是 zakan.
Can you hear the similarity? Zakan, zakan.
你可以听到其中相近的声音吗 ？Zakan 跟 zakan.
Just different vowels.
只是不一样的母音。
So what does this have to do with anything?
那这个又有什么关系呢？
Well, this is suggesting that the beard is a teaching tool.
在这里啊，它里面的想法也是，胡子也是一个教导的工具。
And an outward visible reminder.
而且呢，各位在外面就可以看见这个胡子，它是一个记号，一个提醒。
Much of the instruction in the Torah is outward visible reminders.
很多在妥拉里面的指示呢，都是在外面上啊的一些提醒啊，外在可见的一些提醒。
What does it teach us and what does it remind us of?
那他要提醒我们，他要教导我们什么呢？
Well, when does a boy start growing his beard? When is a boy starting to be able to grow a beard?
那个男孩子到几岁才能够留胡子啊？
Approximately 12, 13, 14 years old.
大概12岁、13、14岁的时候。
That's when he begins to start growing a beard.
那这时候呢，男孩子就开始留胡子。
At least that's when physically his body is able to start growing one.
也就是说，他那个时候他的生理发展到那个岁数的时候，才有办法长胡子。
What's happening in those ages?
那在这些年里面发生什么事呢？
The boy is changing from being a boy to becoming a man.
现在这个男孩已经要从男孩的阶段进入到男人的阶段了。
And being able to grow a beard is one of those outward reminders.
所以能够长胡子也是一个外在的提醒。
It reminds the boy.
他提醒了这个男孩子。
That now he must give up childish things.
现在他要放弃这个孩子性啊，跟他想啊，来的跟他想放弃了。
He's beginning to get older.
他因为他现在呢慢慢长大了。
Now he's a young man.
现在是一个年轻人了。
Not a boy.
而不再是一个男孩子了。
Soon he will be a man.
很快呢，他就是成人了。
And soon this boy will be able to take his place among the zakenim of the city.
那很快的，这个男孩子就可以在这个城里面成为 zakenim， 就是众长老中的一员了。
Zakenim, these are elders.
Zakenim 就是长老们。
As the boy grows older,
当这个男孩子越来越大
and continues to grow his beard,
继续留着胡子
it's a reminder to others when they look at him,
那这也是对其他人的一个提醒就是当他人看见他的时候
to start treating him as a boy,
也开始哦要不再把他当男孩子对待
and to start treating him as a man,
要当成人对待，当男人对待。
It's a reminder to him.
所以这个胡子对这个人来讲是一个提醒。
To stop thinking and acting like a boy.
也提醒他，他的言行现在不要再像男孩子了。
And start thinking and acting like a man.
而是要像一个男人，就是放弃小孩子的样式了，现在要有成人的样式。
He's now getting ready to take his place.
他现在已经预备好要站在他的位置上
among the elders,
就是在众长老群中的位置
whose job is to watch over and to protect God's community.
那长老的工作是什么呢就是要来守护神的社区
So the Zakan, the beard
因此 Zakan 也就是这个胡子
serves to help remind and teach the boy that soon he will take his place among the Zakenim, the elders.
可以提醒这个男孩子，并且教导他，很快的，他就能够在这个 Zakenim, 就是众长老群中站在他的位置上。
Now that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
这个很有趣吧？
It puts the beard in a completely different light.
啊，这个让我们对胡子有一个不同的亮光，不同的看见。
There is debate among people about how long to grow it.
啊，但是呢，啊，我们有一些争论，就是说这个胡子到底要留多长呢
？I can't answer that one for you.
那如果你有这样的问题，这一题我不会答。